All okay. right.
Cool.
And with the count of shitbag, we are recording.
Awesome.
Hello, hello, Mr. Basement.
But not just any shitbag.
The professional shitbag. Yeah. hi. Good to be on here. Hello. Hello. Yes.
So I hear you're a shitbag for fun.
No. On my free time, actually, I'm more of a douchebag. You know, that's...
Got to clean it out.
Yeah, no, I got to go 50-50, right? You know, like, if I'm a shitbag all the time, it just... I don't know. It loses all meaning.
Willie, who is this guy and why is he on our podcast?
This is Jeff Thu, a.k.a. Mother's Basement, signing off from his mother... Wait, he's signing in.
I'm signing in from my mother's basement.
Whoops. and he's joining us today. Thank you for tuning in. Matt couldn't make it because he's got a lot of business stuff to take care of.
He's got business stuff he probably should have taken care of last week.
Tax man's coming after Matt's ass.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Can't
it's
escape.
Past tax season.
Can't escape.
The CRA is going to come get him. Take him out.
I paid my taxes on the 30th, and it was like the worst bank experience in a while.
I'm sure. That's too late.
You know that?
That's not. That's just in time.
I mean, for
a good bank experience.
Yeah. I'm just realizing I'm going to have taxes next year. That's scary.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, it gets real, man. Like, all those Bloodborne bosses you couldn't beat are employed by the tax men.
Oh, no.
That's what's up.
Father Gascoigne is going to come
rape
my asshole
debt.
As soon as
I
don't pay.
He's
going
to go, where's my tax coin? You get it? It's like a pun. Fuck me.
All right. Oh, God damn it. I already hate you, Pat. I've been talking to you for 5 minutes.
I'm doing great this week. Jeff hates me and Austin hates me.
Two for two.
What's that you say? Esoteric fact 143.
Great. I'm excited for this.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this.
It turns out, faithful listeners, that 143 is actually, it was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It was a code, number for I love you because of the number of letters used in that phrase.
I see.
So one and then four for love and then three for you. Mr. Rogers was so obsessed with this that for the last 30 years of his life, he kept his weight at exactly 143 pounds.
That's kind of crazy.
Wow. I'm just imagining Mr. Rogers like in a fucking broom closet looking like Jim Carrey out of the number 23, just drawing 143 all over the fucking walls. Just
said
like,
Mr. Rogers is like the best person that ever was.
Yeah, but it's still kind of insane.
Yeah, no, totally, for real.
But he'd always clean shoes, though.
He's the guy who you would think would have like the most skeletons in his closet.
No skeletons ever came out.
It's just that one video of him giving the crew the finger.
Yeah, but he's like got the biggest, the happy, friendly grin on his face you've ever seen.
So they ain't even mad.
Yeah. Yeah. No. He gives the finger like Rick Sanchez talking to his pocket universe.
That is like that. If you're in that neighborhood and you're walking by that house, as happy and as bright as it is, you pass it and you get the go 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 menacing onomatopoeia coming off of that house, man. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah, no, dude. His stand would be something like that. That chef guy who just makes you vomit up your organs.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, so it is...
Let's get into this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it. We're already into it.
Hey, guys.
Hey, it's been a pretty busy week, I think.
It's been pretty busy. You guys came back from a con and then left to go to a different con, immediately.
Yeah.
Well, it was, 5 days in between, but that's pretty immediate.
That's immediate.
All three of us, we sleep for, 4 days a week.
Hey, Wooly, how's Reboot going?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you must have tuned in to check out.
I spoke to Mike instead.
Yep.
And I'm like, why are there two? Like, this is the dumbest thing in the world, in which I'm asking Mike, why are there two episodes? I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
I'm asking Mike. He's like, how come there's two episodes of Reboot uploaded at the same time? And he goes, because we didn't make any fucking progress.
It's for the best.
God, that was a fun LP to watch, just having Mike in there, and you go in full Jesus complex, almost outdoing Zack Snyder in Batman versus Superman.
I like the comparison. No, dude, like, the opportunity to just take all the pain I've built up for this LP and then put it on someone else's shoulders. and have him...
Someone who deserves it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The orchestrator of mm-hmm. all of this.
Did you mm-hmm. see that that IGN totally gave the reboot game a 7 and
yes.
said it's like the cartoon, but better?
Now, yeah. in all fairness, this is IGN Australia, yeah. and they are upside down and literally can't speak proper English.
It's true.
So.
Yeah, no, a 7 out of 10 is a 3 out of 10 for them.
That's 133% better than God Hand.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh god, that's terrible.
I'll tell you what, like, if you really don't want to sit through them, that's totally fine. All you need to see is the first 10 seconds of episode 8 to get what the rest is going to be about.
Well, no, you've uncovered that pro strat. You like 30% of the way in or whatever, and then you kept trying to execute getting behind the boss.
Yeah, there are some Leotons, yeah.
Man, like, at this point, I think you know that boss fight better than most of the fights in, like, Bloodborne or Dark Souls.
How many times did
how
you
many
fight
attempts?
It?
Alon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's, yeah. like, not Fume Knight, but Alon.
Alon.
Okay, so that's, like, 40.
Yeah, there's, like, a solid hour and a half just of you dying and then reloading that save and being like, fuck, why didn't we restart?
Because then, dude, okay, Pat, the reactions at that point, they get to a level where it's like, you need on-point reactions, not to save yourself, but to know when you're about to die, to pause it and restart the level to save
so
loading
time. So you
don't have
to wait through the load? Yeah.
That's the reactions we were looking for. It yeah. gets that bad. So
oh, okay.
It's a unique-ass LP, and it's kind of magical. Yeah, man, but, you know, like, we pretty much landed from PAX, and then immediately hopped onto another plane over to EGLX, which is the enthusiast gaming convention. That was this is their premiere.
Dude, event. When I looked at the poster and saw it stood for enthusiast gaming and not electronic gaming, I was like, I don't even like. I could not. We don't even know what the L and X stand for. The X is probably Expo, which is cheating, but everyone
it's
does
cheating.
It.
Cheating.
Yeah. What does the L stand for?
Live.
yeah. Yes, actually, enthusiast gaming live expo.
Christ, yeah.
That whole name is a bunch of cheating.
I remember looking at the logo and being like, that must be wrong.
New company, but it's fine.
Kids have fun in TO?
Yeah, man. I think, you know, like, it's a convention that was primarily a tournament, and it was actually a Smash major.
I heard you were commentating SF5 at one point.
Yeah, so, well, that's the thing, is to break down the event, right? It was less of, like I said, it was less of a con and more of like a Smash major, a Counter-Strike tournament, and a Street Fighter tournament as well.
There's a bunch of other games too, like Halo 5 got in
Liam,
there.
Liam, where's your trophy?
I didn't enter.
Oh. It wouldn't be fair, I guess.
I believe the breakdown was someone said like 8 out of 10 Smash gods were present. And,
a lot of really good players. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Red Bull was in the house shooting, so like they were doing.
Was it Red Bull or quote unquote Red Bull?
Yeah, no. For Smash Brothers, it was Red Bull. It was Red Bull for real.
I wonder if I know any of the players who were there because I've got a friend who's super into Smash, right? And he just he's friends with the best Smash player in BC, and he always invites him over whenever he wants to have like Smash. Play and I suck at Smash, so I hate going over there when that guy's there. But
they were probably
no.
there. Anyone who was anyone seems to be like it seems like they attended this one.
For Melee, yeah,
for Melee, for Melee, yeah. For Street Fighter, it was actually interesting because like I'm friends with the organizers of the event and kind of. Since we happened to be going down there for a panel, I was like, yeah, I'll enter and I'll do some commentary. Why not, you know? And so I jumped on.
How'd you do?
I thought I did pretty good. I mean, I definitely have a lot to learn. It's my first time commentating 5. I did commentary for 4 in the past. Mm-hmm. And like in 5's case, you know, you kind of like, when you don't have as much of, like, you need the knowledge and then you got to be the hype man sometimes. You got
to play
off. Well,
yeah, because like 5 commentaries can take years to get up to the point where like,
well,
4 commentaries.
Also like commentate this Guile match.
Yeah.
Guile came out yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, you know, so
you can only do so much.
Yeah.
He threw a sonic boom.
Fortunately, he was banned. Like, the CPT rules say that like, new characters are banned for the first week.
Boom.
Well, yeah, I mean, that just makes sense because, like, they're either going to be broken or totally nobody's going to know how to play them, right?
Exactly. So.
Well, and further, but the guy at this tournament
exactly.
who would have won with him, fucking best player in the world of Guile, Dominion
was present, and he is the best Guile in the world. And so it's just like the ultimate, like, okay, no, seal that power level.
Dominion, yeah. You're not allowed to win.
All in all, like the Street Fighter side of things, you know, from what I could see, ran totally fine. And, you know, they had to bump up the finals from Sunday to Saturday because of another event that was happening. But, you know, in the end, it was a good time. It would be cool to get some feedback because I think my commentary was okay, but you don't know.
I'm sure people will tell you what they think.
Exactly. the whole time I was kind of just thinking, like, don't fuck up. Don't say something wrong. Don't say wrong things, please. Right? Get your frame data right. Say what you got to say and, like, don't get blasted because there's some people locally that are trying to become commentators that have been just, like, filling dead air by making up facts. And like,
look, there's a seat open. Let me just take that. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know this, but Ryu has an air throw in SF5. you can use that to get out of a lot of tight situations.
That's pretty much
it. It's like, you think that's just going to fly, dude, you know? And then furthermore, like yesterday was the, the fraudulent Cineplex tournament that I told you guys about?
Oh, yeah. Man. I was in the theater with my girlfriend and she saw that. Yeah. She was like, what is that? I'm like, that's bullshit, honey. That's complete garbage.
Have you heard about this, Jeff?
I go to movies a lot, so I've seen the like big Cineplex ad for like come play in a theater and be the Canadian Street Fighter.
It's
a CS:GO champion.
God, yeah. Like, you want to talk about missing the mark, man? Because this is like Sony is actually like funding this as well. They're backing it.
Oh, okay.
So it's a
big
thing.
That's why the greatest esports Splatoon is not involved. That
right? And there's a huge cash payout for it and stuff. But the rule set is one round, first to three sets of one round.
For Street Fighter?
For Street Fighter.
What the fuck?
So that's
disgusting.
That was my favorite part of, like, she's like, my girlfriend says, why is it bullshit? She doesn't play fighting games at all. And I explained that to her. She goes, what? That's stupid.
Right?
That's the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, the worst bit about it is how arbitrary it is. Because it could just be the regular rule set. But like, there wouldn't really be a problem.
At that point, you might as well just like have fucking Daigo walk in, random guy off the street, flip a fucking coin, right?
It's so dumb because exactly like you have like I look at it and go, what was the mentality of someone super ignorant here? And I'm thinking they went like, I don't like that meter like staying there between rounds.
That
seems unfair.
I don't like that.
We got to make it completely.
That means the winner of the prior round has an advantage. That's I don't like it when my friend hits me with the super.
Furthermore, depending on which Cineplex you went to, your finals were either 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 5, depending on how they felt like it. Organizing it.
Great
so.
Situational setups.
Yep. And then if you got the fortune, if you were fortunate enough to hear the commentary, you heard things like great use of the block attack. And
did I send you that video of that girl showing off Cammy combos?
That was
her
amazing.
Stream?
Yeah.
Press forward,
yeah,
hard kick.
Yeah. She's a professional troll.
She's a professional.
Amazing.
Oh, God. Like, I'm just imagining, like, the commentary has to be done by Mark Saltzman, right? Like, saying completely wrong things about Street Fighter the whole time. And then just like, by the way, check out this neat gadget that they're paying me to promote.
My God.
Right? Yep. And, you know, in the Cineplex case, it's just like they grab random employees and just go, all right, you're a shoutcaster now.
Do you like Street Fighter? What? All right, you're
it's
in.
It's esports, man. It's esports. So this Vega guy took his claw to the end zone, but the score doesn't seem to be going up.
I was really like struggling for like a football in, and you got there before me.
Yeah,
Daniel.
Well.
No, like there's just one guy, and it's just like, hey, do you like Street Fighter? Oh, yeah, Raul Julia's the best. Okay, you're in. Come in here.
Perfect. Anyway, so that aside, the tournament went on, and it was a really fun time. You can go check out the archives on Bifuteki, who's a really cool streaming dude and or streaming team, I should say.
How the hell do you spell that?
Bifuteki.
Yep.
Mm. Okay, great.
Like kind of like beefsteak, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. So that was one thing. I also started reading East of West, which is a really cool comic. Not done yet, so it's a bit early to tell exactly how things are going to play out, but very strong. You know, something I've been talking about a lot is like world building. Very strong world building in this comic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be a alternate take on like, what if the Civil War resulted in most of North America being carved up into like, here's the indigenous tribe land, here's the black people land, here's Texas land, here's northern Yankee Doodle land, and so on and so forth. And Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are coming back to basically end the world.
Okay, so like I was like so on board with you right up until you just said that.
But it's interesting though. It's not like that ridiculous in like the sense of like, oh, they're riding horses and whatnot.
Because I'm like, oh, that's like a cool historical setup, like the man in the high castle, and then you're like, and then Apocalypse shows up.
There's totally like sci-fi and fantasy elements. Like, make no mistake, it's heavy in that stuff. But it handles it interestingly. Like the horsemen, quote unquote, are reincarnated as babies, actually, and are kind of growing up in a way.
Wouldn't that be easy to punch them in the face?
Yeah, it should be. And like,
just like the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse are coming, put up like a bulletin on the internet. These babies. Go punch these babies. Get these babies out of the way if you don't want the world to end.
This is what they look like. Yeah. No. And it just kind of like there's some other players and stuff, and it rolls from there. But it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting so far. And
sounds cool.
Blah. I would recommend it.
I love comics, so I'll definitely. I literally Googled that as you were talking, and I'll definitely pick that up at some point. As soon as I get around to reading Saga, because I keep hearing
you should do that right now. Just sign off right now. And
okay, I'm leaving the podcast.
Go read Saga.
All right. We want to hear Paige's turn, though. Leave your Skype on.
Yeah, just leave the Skype on. Like, you guys will be in the middle of the podcast 20 minutes from now. You'll just hear a door open. Paige is shuffling. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, hey, keep there's reading. That cat.
That's what I want.
Yeah, exactly. You go ahead.
That sounds like a really interesting concept. I love alternate history takes in general, especially Americana done with alternate history stuff. And I love when comics do the big world building thing. Have you read Chew?
I have not.
Chew is a great example of world building done for like satirical purposes. It's a comic about a psychic detective who gets impressions by eating food. So he can solve any case if he's willing to eat really disgusting shit. And also his last name is Chew, like C-H-U.
Right.
Because the creators love puns. And it takes place in this world where the equivalent of 9/11 was the bird flu scare. Mm-hmm. And that has made the U.S. FDA, the Federal Department of Agriculture, the single most powerful law enforcement agency in the entire world, because there's now this chicken prohibition going on. Mm-hmm. So it's all this stupid food-based crime drama shit. And it's hilarious. It's got
like Shokugeki no Terror.
It's kind of like that. Like, they have these increasingly ridiculous psychic food-based powers. Like, Chu's girlfriend has the ability to write food, like, restaurant reviews so gripping in detail that you can taste the food as as you're reading it, which is great for Chu because the only thing that he doesn't get psychic impressions from is beets, so that's all he's able to eat most of the time.
Mm.
And then there's people who can like carve ninja stars out of tortillas, or functioning like assault rifles out of chocolate, and it's the most ridiculous over the top spy story that you have ever. It's really good. Highly recommend it if you're in the mood for something funny.
Is this a Western comic?
Yeah, it's Image Comics. I think the first issue of it was like previewed in The Walking Dead way back when. That's how I got into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like 60 volumes long now. Or 60 issues. No, 60 issues. Sorry, 60 issues. Six
it's
volumes.
Like Berserk isn't even 38.
No, it's 60 issues. Not volumes.
Okay.
I heard about it like a few years ago or something. I thought it looked pretty neat, but I never knew anything about it, really. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like my favorite comic aside from Archie now, because Archie, I don't know.
Oh,
if
the
you
new
know,
Archie. Yeah.
It got real good. They got the writer of Kingdom Come in on it, and it's just
it's awesome.
It's so tight. Yeah, sorry.
No,
keep
that,
going.
That does sound really cool. The other thing I was able to do was, you know, talking about like favorite things, I guess. You know, Gundam Thunderbolt Ep 3 out and subtitled, watched it. Still,
that took a while, right?
It took a while to subtitle this one for some reason, yeah. But, you know, whatever, it's here, and it's still the best thing ever.
Did they Thunderbolt it?
They did, and then they also simultaneously, like, remember how I was talking about, like, Iron-Blooded Orphans?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, my problems with it and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here in, like, this single short OVA, they introduce the same child soldiers kind of material to work with, and then just fucking handle it in, like, 10 minutes is all you need to do that material justice and cover that subject matter and then turn the page on it. And it's fantastic. It's still the best Gundam there is.
I gotta say, I'm deeper into Zeta. I'm getting real sick of Katz's shit.
Oh, you should be.
I'm getting real, real sick of Katz's shit. And yeah. I know I've said this twice on the podcast, I believe, is that it's ridiculous that they do not lock the mobile suits in the hangar to stop people from just getting in them.
On emotional whims.
It has now become, like, a farce.
Yeah. The
every single mobile suit on the Argus, is that it, what is it called? The Argama. Has been stolen multiple times by children,
whoever wants it, really.
Non-pilots, multiple easily escaped spies.
Has it gotten anybody killed yet?
Not yet. No.
Oh, so it's fine.
Okay.
Then.
So that's like the limit of it.
Hold on. In the long run, yes, because Sarah keeps escaping, and she kills people
right
after she escapes.
But basically, yeah, that's the thing in Gundam, in these old series at least, is, yeah, teenage hormones fly, and when they fly high, nothing can stop them.
Well, the other weird thing about the teenage hormones is, like, Camille, okay, man, like, I said this in 8th MS, and I had a problem with it there. It's like, I get it. You're all, like, teenagers, right? And you're fighting a war that you don't...
They're a little older than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, young adults, right? But here, they're mostly teenagers, right? And you're fighting a war that is, like, been ongoing, etc. And I'm like, you idiots, just do it because of the war, right? But in Zeta, there is a moment where a character who has just planted a bomb to blow up an entire city decides to sit down with the enemy pilot Ace and have ice cream for like 25 minutes.
Yep.
It is so ridiculous. It is so beyond belief that she just tells him that she planted the bomb no reason.
I'm gonna refrain from.
I hate Sarah so much. I hate her so much.
You should hate Katz more.
Katz is really bad.
You should hate Katz more. Yeah.
So, like, my exposure to Gundam, I'm kind of a Gundam noob. I'm where Pat was, I guess, a few months ago.
Yeah.
My exposure to Gundam was basically Gundam Wing on YTV, and then Gundam Seed on YTV. And that, like, Gundam Seed is,
the
biggest turn-off.
I'm not going to make the big guffaw noise because you're
not. No, like, it's fine.
You're 90% of the population.
So many people just saw that, and that's fine. Because
that's what aired.
Because that's if you don't seek out Gundam and you just passively let it come into your life as someone
Gundam
that watches cartoons,
those
are the two things you would be exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate because I know that those are, like, not the good Gundams.
I think Wing is fine.
In the grand scheme, there's way better than
from
Wing.
What you've told me of Seed. Seed is like just a train wreck.
Yeah, it's the absolute worst.
Seed is so bad. Seed is like, God.
Like, Wing is the kind of thing that you look back on it and you kind of go like, ugh, that's full of
it's corny
really
and 90s
stuff.
And you know.
But
Seed is like on. Oh God, what was the name of it? Bionics? On Bionics, they had Seed Inuyasha, and Seed was the worst thing on Bionics. So, like, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I was going to say that Gundam, like that Thunderbolt got something out of me that I haven't felt in a while, which is when the credits hit, I'm like punching my couch going, "Argh!" Like, no, more right now. Why now?
Don't
stop.
Don't leave me there.
You know,
at that moment,
that feeling that I haven't had in a very long time.
So do I need to watch Thunderbolt? Is it pretty hype?
I think you can just jump in and watch
it. Is Thunderbolt part of UC?
It's part of the 1 year war.
Okay.
Okay, because UC is on Crunchyroll, right?
I don't know if it's on Crunchyroll, the UC stuff. I know that, I don't know what Gundam is on Crunchyroll, to be perfectly honest, but it's not too hard to acquire.
To find it through completely legal means.
Downloads.
And I know that, you know, like, you guys down there on Cartoon Network for a while, you were airing, like, 79 and some other stuff dubbed, so I'm not 100% sure what the state is with America. But anyway, you can, yeah, I suggest it, you know, and it's, like I said, it's really short, it's really good, and you can appreciate it without Gundam knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
With Gundam knowledge, you appreciate it more, but even without it, it's
just fucking great. Yeah, but that just means you can go back after you've gone through the whole catalog.
Is it not on Sunrise's YouTube channel?
It might be, because it has the same, like, website thing, the plug that they had for the when they had Build Fighters.
Yeah.
It was also free on their website, and it has the same opening, like,
okay,
hey, you're watching our thing.
Like the little ad.
So yeah, it
beginning.
Might be.
Okay.
It might be.
Because, like, as far as I know, they want that to be, like, the standard, but I don't really follow Gundam at all, so I don't know if that, that's kept up or anything.
So, you know, that just continues to rock my world. I sat down and played some Neo. And
yeah, dude, did you finish the demo?
I didn't finish the demo.
Did you beat the first boss?
No, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time.
That video is coming up later in the week.
Yeah.
Not Woolies, but me and Liam will be taking a look at that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, I just spent a lot of time.
If you had to describe Neo in one word, what would it be?
Fucking radical.
Okay.
That's two words.
Yeah. That's two words.
That was close.
Two words.
Yeah. That was really close.
I would say hard.
So really Neo hard. Is like the Japanese-y version of Dark Souls, right?
Yeah,
it is.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of a Dark Souls neophyte. I'm exposing myself as such a scrub because like Dark Souls, I have wanted to play it for a while, but when I had time to play it, it just didn't want to work on my PC at all, even with the fixes. I got all the fixes in, and then I tried playing it, and it's like, no, sorry, your Xbox controller, which is supposed to work with this, will not work with this. Try again later. When we get to my week, I'll tell you what my exposure to Dark Souls has been in more detail. But I'm super interested in trying Neo because I love samurai shit and the whole history of Japan.
You should download the alpha because you won't be able to play it after the 4th of May.
Yeah, it's time limited.
Which is in 2 days.
You have 2 days to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So I have until Star Wars Day. I think I may have to just wait until it comes out then.
It's so hard.
That's fair.
Because I gotta make vidges, you know.
Yeah. So like, there's a couple things that, you know, are really interesting about their choices here. Team Ninja's choices, while going in with the sort of, I guess, Dark Souls idea. You started out, everyone's bloodstains are like you can summon. They're AI
versus
versions
modes.
Of the characters that were died there that you can summon and fight.
There's
and
a few that are placed by the developers there. Like,
okay.
Like, you can fight one that's named Ko Shibusawa, who's, like, the president of Tecmo Koei.
But...
hence the name Tecmo Koei.
But the, like, way the game... interesting.
Yeah.
But the...
That's crazy.
The state that you start the game in, of course, is one that...
You're practically naked.
If you are... If you mess... If you don't... If you take a hit, you're dead. Basically.
Oh, jeez.
So the first part of the game is basically play flawless. And it's interesting.
I was watching a mutual friend of ours play it, and he took a heavy hit from the first enemy, and he took 989 damage from the first hit, putting him at 11 HP.
Yeah. So there's two things about the combat that I think are stellar and actually a lot more fun than a bunch of the weapons I've seen in Dark Souls, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two things. One, it's the fact that...
stances?
Well... Yes, but first I wanted to bring up the fact that, like, it's mainly, of course, about dodging and movement and you know, and so on.
And your dodge is super powerful.
It's an amazing dodge.
Yeah.
But you do have a block, but it's basically your entire stamina bar for a single block. Like, you can sometimes get a couple, you know, maybe one or two.
A bit later, you start being able to block better.
But it's not a shield, right? I wouldn't imagine it ever becomes one, really, because you're using a weapon to deflect what's coming at you. You're not holding up, a sword and board.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of interesting that, like, you have the option there, but it's just kind of greatly discouraged as opposed to having a full-on shield or having no shield at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's this in-between kind of feeling. Yeah, the stances are so fucking cool and fun to have. And I love just the simple basic mechanic of finish your attack or your string and recenter your stance and you gain back a little bit of stamina and you recover a little bit quicker.
You can even just press R1. Like, you don't have to switch stance.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you switch.
It's a cool little mechanic. Absolutely.
And it's a thing that I, like, it's an action that you kind of almost think about your character doing when you're playing a game, but you never really associate it with, like, a manual, input to, like, just recenter your sword or recenter whatever your weapon is and wait for the next attack. But if you watch any sort of samurai action or anything, it's always there. So doing it manually feels really
cool. It's an active reload for your body.
Yes!
Basically.
And it's such a fun thing to have in the middle of
combat. I found it really, really difficult to keep myself focused on that mechanic. Like, the longer that I played, the less I started to do it.
Well, the good part is that if you do it sloppy, then you get a sloppy version, but it's not like you don't get it at all.
Yeah.
Right? You get the slow reload, but if you get it instantly after your swing, you get that bam, perfect lock-in, ready to go again. And, like, in some situations, you notice that the enemy coming up to you will switch to a certain stance where you'll have just enough after, you know, that first exchange where if you do recover perfectly, that'll get you out of their next, like, attack, you know? Really, really fun. Of course, yeah, really, really hard. And
I had just finished playing hours of Dark Souls prior, and when me and Liam, like, it crushed me up like I was nothing. I couldn't believe it.
I think it's actually, like, notably harder than the Souls
absolutely
game.
Much
because the difference between fighting one enemy and two is fucking
it's a quantum leap.
It is unbelievable.
To be honest, I actually think it's a bit too hard. I think they should dip it down a little. You didn't get to the bosses yet.
I didn't get to the boss.
The bosses.
I gave the boss one shot and was like, fuck this, Liam, it's on you.
I am confident in saying that, like, one fight is, like, it's a challenge, but you figure it out and you do the right stance and you're fine. Two characters on you is a fucking it's a trek, and three, you're not going to do it.
You run away.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to fight three guys, you know. And even if you try to, like, funnel and whatnot, like, they actually traverse the environments as much as you do.
Did you get to the first, like, big Oni enemy or?
No, I got to the encampment on that's kind of like after you drop off and get your bow and arrow.
Okay, so
and then, like, then you get rushed, basically.
Okay,
so
not super far. Okay,
And you've got that sort of, like, special system as well. I like how bonfires have a ton of little interesting things where you pick your blessing, you find more.
It's definitely a hell of a lot Kodamas. More involved than the Dark Souls bonfire system.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like, it reminds me more of, like, a Monster Hunter or Tokiden, actually. Reminds me of Tokiden.
Yeah, it's more like Tokiden,
where it's like,
definitely.
Pick your little dude that buffs you, sell your shit, do that.
If you're going to summon, you're going to summon here at the bonfire.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely, the one thing that I was like, God fucking damn it, was right after I was like, all right, that was great, I had my fill. The last thing I did when I was looking around through the bonfire was, like, I completely missed the upgrade screen.
Oh, yeah.
And went, fuck me. Not the normal numeric upgrades, but, like, the technique upgrades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
because that's in your stat. That's in your, like, pause menu. It's not in
the normal
it's
upgrade
not at the
screen.
Shrines,
exactly.
Yeah.
So then I just went through that, and I had enough to buy pretty much everything there.
Yeah, all the first stuff's super cheap. You can go through it, like, in a blast.
Yeah.
And after, they start costing, like, six and more.
But that's
more
where you start
points.
Seeing the, like, the parry, the deflect. The you know, dash behind the guy and finishing blows, things like that. I'm absolutely, like, yeah, the difficulty is definitely there, and I'm sure once we get out of basic enemy world, I'll agree with you that this game is going to be probably a bit too hard. I would also
appreciate, like, another pass on visibility. Like, the game's really dark.
It is.
You should try, if you're going to play it again, you should legitimately just try cranking up the brightness and see if that does anything for you. It's possible.
But, I straight up think the combat is more fun than Dark Souls right now.
You are crazy, but that's fine.
But just based on those stances.
Mm-hmm.
but I don't know enough about all the weapons in Dark Souls, and I don't know enough about, of course, the weapons you're getting here, but I love the options you get.
Well, here's the thing. In Neo, your moveset per weapon is much, 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 much larger, potentially.
And that means a lot to me.
But there's five. Right now, anyway, like there when you go to
right
your,
now there's the
when
three.
You go to your skills. Oh, there's only three.
Well, there's three, and then there's Ninja and Onmyo.
Okay, so there's,
which are
there's
like,
three
like little like subclasses.
Whereas
almost.
Dark Souls has like a you know a move set of like let's say 10 moves per weapon, but there are 193 in the game.
Okay, because I got the axe
with
and
various
the hammer,
differences,
which have the same move set.
Yeah,
the swords have
the same
move
set, and then there's a spear.
And then there's a spear.
There might be more, but that's all we know about.
It's definitely
so far,
more
yeah.
on the character action slant of things than the Dark Souls side. Of
yeah, I like when you get into the combat and it becomes almost more Ninja Gaiden, in like its speed and stuff. I think the enemies are like a little too like they're kind of boring in their aggressiveness. The regular enemies, because all they do when you're far away from them is they run as fast as they can, which is pretty much your top speed
your
as well.
Speed, yeah. If you sprint, you can out edge them.
Yeah, you're a little bit quicker than them, but like the enemies are really like kind of boring in that sense, the regular ones. When you get later, and especially in the second area, they really throw shit. They throw some fucking shit at you.
Probably one of the things that makes it the hardest that like me and Liam were talking about in the video is that the penalty for using up all your stamina is extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you use up all your stamina, not only can you not act, you are standing still, open, dizzy.
Like 5 seconds.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
It's death.
It's really not 5 seconds. It's actually like one.
But it feels like five.
It's death, yeah. Pebbles are mandatory, you know, in this. And not wasting them is a super key thing as well. What I'm saying though is basically that like yeah I guess if you're gonna put in that much moves set on each weapon you're gonna have less weapons overall you know
that's what happened with Bloodborne
right. With the transformations
because
right.
Bloodborne's weapons are crazy intricate
there's something that appeals to the fucking weeb inside of
me totally
that is like when someone shifts to their high stance you go to the low one and you know what I mean and you do that Bushido blade. Stance switching game.
Yeah.
I fucking love that so much and it feels so cool. So I enjoy that.
Man,
I thoroughly enjoy that.
This is making me hope that like in the end game you'll be able to get like a flash cut ability that just lets you go
end
straight
game,
past
that's like
them
the third upgrade you can get with the sword.
Really? That's okay. I'm sold on this
like,
fucking game.
It's the unsheathing slash.
And you manually resheath your blade when you're
but like do you too. End up behind them? That's the important
thing. No, you don't.
It's just a swing in front.
Oh, man.
It's still, realistically based on, like, a human being's movement. Also,
I just want that for, like, the PvP stuff to just have, like, a 50-50 and you don't know for, like, 2 seconds who died. And then
just
one of you falls to
the
ground.
Kirby versus Samurai game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's what all PvP needs to be, the Kirby versus Samurai game.
I'm interested in the further adventures of Johnny Whiteman. The last
you
samurai.
Mean Geralt?
The last samurai.
He actually does have a name, but.
Lee mentioned to me.
Yeah, his name's William. Yeah.
Much like our earlier mistake with those Lone Wolf books, that Neo was totally, in fact, announced like before like Witcher 2 or whatever came out.
Before Witcher got popular.
But
like Neo was announced at the same E3 as Final Fantasy 15.
Right.
So,
yeah. Oh, was it?
But
up for the PS3.
Like it's just one of those weird coincidences. Like it is shocking how much the main character looks like Geralt.
He looks so similar to Geralt. Yeah.
Especially from Witcher 2 where he had a top knot.
Yeah.
I just found it hilarious that it's like you know, you press start and like boat rolls in, a white guy in western clothes steps off the boat. Takes out one dude, and you've got the rice hat on, and the samurai armor, and the boots, and the sword, and you're in there, like, full-on Asian guy.
Full-on weeb mode.
Full-on weeb mode in seconds. I love it. That's fun stuff. And, you know, I mean, beyond that, like, I guess a bit more Lucha Underground, not much to say until I'm finished that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Liam, you showed Matt and I the first episode of Cabaneri.
Yeah, Kotetsu no no Cabaneri.
So the most
cool
metal
show
of all time.
Yeah, Wooly refused to watch it, so I had to sit him down and make him watch it.
To watch it.
Why would you refuse
to
watch
it?
I did not refuse to watch it. I was going to watch it, but I walked into the hotel room, and it was right when Liam pressed play. So
okay,
I sat and
so
watched
perfect
it.
Timing.
Yeah. It's a cool show, man. You know, now it's one episode in, not much to say so far, but like animation's really cool. I like how there's that one character that looks like she's from the 80s and not from like modern anime.
I think it's worth rewatching it just to see the animation quality, because we were like streaming it, but like, dude, the animation quality is like, there are some cuts that are film quality and it's ridiculous.
It's like all pretty much up to par with like Ninja Scroll. They got the 3-step shading and all of that. It's such a pretty show.
Yeah. Do you remember Jeff in the second episode, the bit where I forget her name takes the key from around her neck and her hair moves around it, and you're like, that's a film cut.
Yeah, no, that
shit doesn't belong in TV anime.
That is some Sakuga shit. There's like Sakuga all up in this.
Mm-hmm,
we're using our weeb terms right now. but yeah, no, dude, this show is so good. Just one thing to be wary of. There is one version of subtitles for episode 2 that is so fucking painfully bad. It was translated into Chinese and then into English.
Oh, the good stuff.
Dwayne!
No, it's literally like, oh no, they're IDK what measurement in brackets away from us right now. And then just like, it's like, China, are you okay? Please. And I then the it. Guy just turns to her and the subtitles just read Daijoubu in like all caps.
Right,
right, right. Good.
It's painful.
There's 3 episodes out so far, right?
I think the 4th one just came out, but I might be crazy.
No, the third one would have just come out because of
the earthquake. It was delayed. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I look forward to more to see how the Attack on Titan vibes get shaken off, because they're super strong based on that first one, and not just because it's the same team, but, you know, humanity threatened. You've got the big unstoppable creatures. They make a lot of smoke, and they come to get you.
I think the big difference, as Nate put it on the Weebcast when we were talking about it, is that the main character is basically like Edward Elric meets Guts, and he's such a fucking like heavy metal badass.
He does everything for himself.
No, he doesn't go whining to Mikasa.
He's like, I he's got did a problem. It. Yeah, I made yeah, this yeah. weapon. I figured out it was a disease. I saved myself.
He's pretty cool in that regard. Yeah. But I just mean setting wise, you know. I'd like to see some of the differences start shining through and see where this goes. Because the other thing too is cabinary is a made up word, right? That's not a real thing. That's not.
Yeah, well, it's like the bad guys are the cabane, and then the cabinary are the Kabaneri, however you pronounce that in Japanese, they're the that's the term for people who have been bitten, but like the main character, did heavy metal bullshit to themselves and like got the autoerotic asphyxiation machine set up so that they didn't actually turn.
Right.
So they've got
the carotid machine.
Yeah, so they've got like the whole iron blood thing, but they're not crazy monsters, and that's
okay. Because I found the translation of the title to be really strange in that regard. Because, you know, Attack on Titan, it just goes straight into English in that way. Whereas, in a lot of other titles as well. But in this case, you kept one Japanese word and then went with the rest in English. I was just like, that's odd. But I guess if there's no other descriptor to use, then sure.
Yeah, I think
cabinary is not a real word. So
that's why.
Okay, because I was gonna say the whole thing is in English.
That's why I opened with it's not a real word, right? Like, because if there was an English word to use for it, then like why wouldn't you? You know,
I think that it's like kabane is probably derived from some sort of Japanese myth, because the whole thing is like the whole setting's like the Shinsengumi, which is I think pretty much the coolest thing
that you can
put
awesome.
In an anime. Like samurai with guns. I'm in. I'm done. I have a feeling that kabane might be like some kind of like folklore reference that has no direct translation into English.
Because
they also say that Rokan Shoujo thing a lot, and that's like
that gets left. Yeah,
that gets left. I mean, that gets left in the bad translation, but that's literally just like a Buddhist prayer or something. I have a feeling that it's like a cultural thing like that that I just don't understand.
Yeah,
because right,
like it, like from what you're just, you guys are saying now, like it's saying infected doesn't carry it enough, I suppose. And in any case, let's actually take a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be back. So this weekend I was in the hotel
Mm-hmm. You were in the hotel, yes.
I was in the hotel with Liam and Matt. Mm-hmm. And then they got the beds, but I didn't get the bed. They rolled out this thing.
Why didn't you sleep in the bed with them?
Because there was this thing. And we said, okay, maybe this thing will cut it. There was this metal contraption, and it folded out. It had spikes on it. I swear to God it had spikes on it.
This doesn't sound real.
Dude. And we laid it out, and I laid on it, and I felt like I got a chair shot to the back. I continued to sleep because I was too lazy to get up and just roll onto the floor.
Wow.
But I swear to God, I, this weekend, slept on the worst mattress I have ever felt in my life.
Dude, it sounds like you need a better mattress to bring with you to cons.
It is absurd how painful this mattress was, and it's also absurd how small a Casper mattress ships to your house.
And you know this because you have one.
The difference between the amazing Casper mattress I have at home and the hell that I was put through this weekend cannot be quantified with words. It can, however, be quantified with a website. If you go down to Casper, if you go down to Casper.
What's the website, Wooly?
Casper.com. You go to Casper.com/superbest, and you use the code superbest, and then you get to put yourself in a position that is way better than the position I was in, which is hunched over, Quasimodo-style, bad morning.
They do not sell weird Iron Maiden-style, like, back destroyers at Casper, no.
No, they sell affordable mattresses that ship to your house at a shockingly fair price. Average mattress costs over $1,500 sometimes. They get kind of crazy with it. Casper mattress, $500 for a twin size.
Are you serious?
They got that memory
that's
foam.
Super good.
They got that memory foam. I was missing the memory foam this weekend, and when I got up, I was limping, and I told Matt to sit down on it for 2 seconds. He sat down and popped back up and went, holy shit, that's the worst. And then Liam went on it and just laughed and laughed and then said, ow. Dude, if you don't have a bad, if you got a bad mattress, you're going to have a bad night. You're going to have a
bad rest
day.
Of your day, too.
You're going to have a bad life. You got a good mattress, good day, good life. Good mattresses down at Casper Mattresses. I'm telling you because I got one and it's good. It's down at casper.com/superbest. Promo code superbest. Try it out. I'm telling you. If you don't like it, they absolutely have a guarantee.
How many days do I have on that guarantee?
You get 100 nights, brah.
100 nights?
Your back gets 100 nights.
That's a hell of a test.
Do it for your back.
I will.
Thanks, Casper.
Thank you, Casper.
So yeah, we know, you know. Actually, you might have forgotten that Mother's Day is this weekend.
And shut up.
If you forget about Mother's
Day.
Like,
I'm not even joking. I thought it was actually next weekend.
If you forgot about Mother's Day, you're the worst. There's a way to fix it, though. You can fix it, and you can fix it, not permanently, but at least for a year.
Okay.
You can take care of it by getting flowers to show her that you love her. But here's the
Mom
thing.
Mom does like flowers.
She does. But you know who else likes flowers? Austin.
Everybody, really. I mean,
our Texan friend. And you know what? I know that because I sent him 100 blooms, and he got that vase with it. And I got him those gourmet chocolates from Pro
Flowers.
Forget
it comes with the gourmet chocolates.
I got them all, and I sent them down. Because he's such an attractive, nice Let's Player man.
He's a nice man.
He's got the beard. He's got the glasses. He likes Rocket Knight. And he deserves it.
He's decent at Street Fighter, honestly.
Yeah, he deserves it. You know, sometimes you gotta treat yourself. When you don't feel like treating yourself, someone else has gotta treat you. You know, so I said, you know what? Mom can wait. I'ma send my Pro Flowers down to Austin Eruption. And he loved it.
That's weird priorities, but okay.
He got back to me and told me how amazing it was, and he sent me pictures. Those chocolates are crazy. So if you want to do the same for the special Let's Player in your life, you want to go down to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone, and type in FriendCast. And by
what's that code again,
that
man?
Code is FriendCast.
Okay, FriendCast, got it.
Right, and you support the FriendCast and everything by doing that. And again, you also get the opportunity now to get, that's 100 blooms with a free glass vase for $19.99.
Seriously? That's amazing.
And you can upgrade that with gourmet chocolates and a premium vase for just $9.99 more. So that's what I got him. If it's good enough for Austin Eruption, it's good enough for your mama. Right?
Yes.
Right. Pro Flowers. You want to hit it up. You want to do it. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, Pro Flowers.
All right. Liam, what'd you do with your week, man?
Hey, Liam.
Not a whole lot, to be honest, outside of EGLX. Played the Neo demo, of course. I finished both the bosses, and it's...
Oh, you finally did it?
Yeah, and... Oh, fuck that second boss, man. It's really tough, that second boss. He starts using, like, elemental attacks and stuff, so you have to get the right armors and have the right puppy with you and stuff like that.
Arf.
You just have exactly.
wait.
Margin for error, really.
Wait,
there is less game. Margin for error than in, like, any Souls game. Yeah. It's crazy.
But wait, go back. Puppy?
Yeah, you have a little spirit animal that follows you around, and you get in the demo, you can, or in the alpha, you can pick one of four, and the one you want for that boss is the like electric puppy, because you get some electric resistance. So.
Oh my god, I want this game so bad all of a sudden.
You should honestly, if you have a PS4, you should just go download it and try it.
Is the alpha like completely free right now?
Yeah, you just go to the free demos and then download it.
Yeah,
okay. Again, you have 48 hours, so.
I'm going to do that now, I think. Yeah.
Imminently, yeah.
The other thing, too, that's cool is when you die, like, you know how your souls drop in like these games? Mm-hmm. You have to go pick them up to get your money back. So in this case, it's like the animal is just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, protecting them.
Oh, that's adorable and amazing. Oh, God.
So you lose the buffs you get from them until you recover them. But if you're struggling to recover them, you can just go back to the shrine and call the animal back, and then you just throw away all the souls that they're protecting. But it's a fair trade if you really feel like you need the animal back.
Or die again. Yeah.
Yeah, you can die again closer, but like...
And then it just jumps into you.
What's the point? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I finished playing Star Fox Zero, all the levels, feeling very much the same as I did before. Game is fantastic. Game's absolutely fantastic, but it just feels so ambitionless. And it's
is there a word that's like ambition?
Disappointing.
No.
Like, you have so many places to go with the story for Star Fox.
Shot for the horizon.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, not for the sun or the stars, but straight ahead.
Yeah.
I feel about this game like my dad feels about me.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, man, your mother's basement, not daddy's basement.
Yeah. Not daddy's basement.
Daddy
although,
left. No.
When I was
talking smokes, I'll be back.
When I was talking about making an LP channel, like, you know, just as a side thing, people were suggesting Daddy's Belt as the name. So,
are you winning, son?
As that part, but yeah, So I've heard like mixed things about Star Fox.
Pretty much what it boils down to is like the gameplay is really, really hard to master, and it doesn't leave you a huge amount of margin for error.
Okay.
You have to get accustomed to it and perform well with it, or you're gonna lose, and it's gonna be frustrating on top of it. It's similar to like The World Ends With You, if you've ever played that.
I love The World Ends With You.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's the same kind of thing where you just need to learn to manage the two screens properly.
I still want
to
give you a big thumbs up for like nailing that analogy, because it's perfect.
That's what it is.
It's perfect in every way, where it's like a great game that certain people like me who are dead and pissy, it'll just bounce right the fuck off.
And yeah,
me,
exactly.
Who loves everything about it except the gameplay.
It's super good, and I actually went back to play Star Fox 64 3D just to see how it holds up, and like, yeah, after playing Zero, 64 3D felt like super static, like really like dull, because the gameplay is so active in Zero. Once you get used to the controls, you're constantly whipping around, aiming at stuff. Feels really like really satisfying. But yeah, basically it just boils down to having the same, pretty much the exact same story. Guess what? It doesn't add anything, and it just feels derivative, kind of, which is a huge bummer. And there are really good scenes, and some bits in the previous game are vastly improved, bosses are rearranged, etc. But ultimately, I can't fault anyone for wanting to give this like a 6 or a 7 or something. Mm-hmm. Personally, like, I'd have to put it around like a 7.5, maybe an 8 if I was feeling generous. But like, the complete lack of forward movement in the story sucks. Like, really sucks. Mm-hmm. And so it's a bummer because Assault and Command did good on those fronts. Yeah.
So if you're interested in Star Fox's story, have you checked out A Fox in Space?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was about to go into that.
It's wicked sick.
It's like the coolest thing. Have you guys talked about it on the podcast before?
No, not at all. It's on the docket for this week. I was totally going to
bring it up. So I'm sure it'll come up.
Okay, so well, are we going to shut up for now? And
we might as well if we're talking Star Fox.
Now, I forget the name of it, but is that crazy, like, 70s fucking...
Exactly.
The 80s cartoon about Star Fox.
Yeah, it was a crowdfunded 10-minute thing. And the voice acting is amazing.
The voice acting
Star Wolf is the best.
So strong. Wolf is so strong.
I love him.
And like all the little jokes, the antics, the awkwardness, the weird cuts. It's nailing it super hard, and I can't wait for the next episode.
Well, get ready to wait like a full year.
It's going to take a minute.
No, with animation that good, it's going to take a while. But it's like, dude, it's so worth the wait. Everything about it is so good. Like, it's a legitimately good show, but then it's also about Star Fox, and that makes it way cooler.
Yeah, you know? And it's tragic that it's not official in that regard. I feel like I never would have thought that would be the kind of show I wanted to see for Star Fox, because prior to this, what I always would say is, I want to see Jim Henson puppets.
You want the Thunderbirds.
You want Thunderbirds.
I want
exactly,
Thunderbirds,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I want that box art moving and doing that type of puppeteering and stuff. And when we got a hint of that in the Nintendo Direct, it was cool. It was really cool to see them go back to it, but then not commit to the actual product, unfortunately. But
then we get an anime instead.
But A Fox in Space is totally a great unofficial replacement.
Yeah, it's so... Like, my friend... I didn't know about that until like the day it came out, and my friend Elijah, who's obsessed with everything from the 80s, he's the guy who tries to get me to do all of the 80s anime. He got me to cover Daikon. He got me to do that video. And he just sent me that with, like, no context. I'm like, I see exactly why you love this. Because it's like... It captures that tone so well, but it's not like... oh, God, what's the name of... I'm blanking on the name of that thing that's really popular on Netflix right now.
Oh, he's talking about... you're talking about Kung Fury.
Kung Fury, yeah. It's not like Kung Fury or Far Cry Blood Dragon, where it's like trying to make fun of that stuff necessarily. It's just like this completely unironic love of that style, but then also totally playing up the foibles of what makes that funny and interesting. And it's just so well done.
I feel like I haven't seen a ton of 80s animation parodies. Like, we've seen a lot of 80s movies parodies and 80s music, and even 80s games with like the drift games we love and stuff. But that specific kind of cartoon that is like the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, awkward, not lit. characters.
The shading's all wrong and the animation's a little bit stiff. Like, it's hard to do, right? Because, like, you have to hit that, like, middle ground between, like, heavy metal, awesome, and then, G.I. Joe bullshit. And I guess Community did it with their G.I. Joe parody. But yeah, it's a really hard... It's a lot harder to nail than
to make
just,
it feel
like,
really authentic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you can just throw a couple filters on your camera and make something that looks kind of like Kung Fury. Obviously, you have to go the extra mile to make something that cool, but it's a lot simpler to do that. Like, you can even, if you want to be super authentic, you can even still get 16mm, 8mm film and, film it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've seen like things like that... that Saturday morning cartoon show with like the animals that was like I think it was a rabbit that was like a cool ninja rabbit and stuff that were kind of that came out recently that are parodying a lot of the 90s cartoons we saw and whatnot, and it feels like everything that is like, because you say G.I. Joe, but even then it's like that's too late
Yeah,
you know,
it kind of
in the
is.
Decade, really, because the aesthetic is really like that. Dungeons and Dragons not even Conan, but Thundar the Barbarian. You know, like not He-Man. That you need lower budget than that animation from Hanna-Barbera, and like that's what a Fox in Space is doing.
Yeah, except there's like moments where it's like the characters are really expressive and well animated, like in a weird 80s kind of way. And those moments, they kind of make me think of, I don't know, the Transformers movie, like the original Transformers movie and stuff like that.
Fox's expression when he's in the jail cell, like he goes through a lot of different faces while Wolf is talking to him.
It's definitely hard to put your finger on what it is, but whatever it is, the creators of that really got it.
Totally
That's
works.
For
yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Anything else, Liam?
I went back to Assassin's Creed Chronicles China and actually finished it. It's not very long. It's only like 12 levels, and the longest levels are like 20 minutes long. I actually had a good time the second time around. The first time, I don't know what.
You're
but
a braver man than I.
It didn't really click with any of us. But when you get beyond like the fifth level and you pretty much have all your abilities and stuff, it becomes really fun. Because you're like, oh, there's actually like a lot of thought put into the encounter design.
I thought you were going to say like second level there.
Yeah,
well,
because
the problem is they're constantly giving you tutorials up until then. And like it slows the pacing down like really badly. But then once you've got all the tutorials out of the way, like you just get the encounter designs, and they're actually really well thought out. And some of the stuff you have to do to get through areas without killing anyone is pretty intricate. So
Is it like Mark of the Ninja?
Sorry?
Is it like Mark of the Ninja, that type of stuff?
It's a similar type of game. Mark of the Ninja is a better game,
okay.
But same kind of 2D stealth thing.
Because I'm always, like ever since playing that, I've been craving more Mark of the Ninja, and I know I probably won't get it from AAA people. I kind of got it from Gunpoint, but
no, this won't give you that. I'm keen to get into India because I hear that they did improve a little bit over China. But this, I doubt any of them touch Mark of the Ninja because that's like Mark of the Ninja is kind of a high point for that kind of game.
You might get some of it, Jeff, from Samurai Zero. Put that name on your radar for if those are the games you enjoy. This one's a bit.
Oh, did that game have stealth in it?
This is a bit more like just go make the game plan, go in and like go nuts. But as he mentioned, Gunpoint, it makes me think of that as well. So take a look at that. We talked about it a little bit before, but I think you'd enjoy. Anyway.
I finished that. That was super fun. And the only other thing I really did of substance, like other than just watching The Office, and like, fuck, that show's long. I'm almost at the end. I'm at the last season, and it's starting to get...
I thought it was only like 5 episodes.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Dude, there's like 9 seasons. It's crazy. Have you guys watched it?
I've watched The British
end?
Office.
And I have not seen it.
You've seen the good one.
Fucking nuts long. Like,
I could do that in a weekend.
My first girlfriend...
I don't
girlfriend.
Think you actually...
you don't think that's actually possible?
Nine seasons.
How long is the show?
Some is 23-minute episodes, but some of the seasons have like 25 episodes.
Okay, let's do some
I don't
math.
Think that's actually like, mathematically
the
possible.
Complete opposite of the original British one with Ricky Gervais where it's like, it's too short. And then it's
that's 86 hours. That's actually impossible.
Well, I mean, if you double speed at everything, that's how people tell me to watch anime. It's just like, you can watch more of it if you double the speed on everything.
Yeah, because you're not listening to the weeby dialogue.
Suddenly you get like silky smooth 20 frame animation, right? Like,
yeah, that's the way you do it.
Every time I watch something like Thunderbolt or something like Gravity Falls, it just makes me less and less patient for stories that don't wrap their fucking selves up.
Yeah.
No, just end it.
You did it. You're done.
Tell a story and move on. Even if it's comedy, move the fuck on.
Yeah, you should just die, Superman.
Or if you're going to stick around, then JoJo it. And move forward.
So, Wooly, how's Naruto?
That's very much what it is, though. Like,
Naruto. Naruto ended, and then they decided to bring it back and tell more story. Because money, right?
How deep are you into the Naruto now, Wooly?
I still haven't pulled the trigger.
Oh, so you're back in?
I'm downloading, and the folder's growing.
No.
I still haven't pressed play.
Don't do it to yourself, man. That's terrible.
Do it, you pussy.
At this point, I have to for the bit, Jeff.
You have to for the bit.
Yeah.
like 100 hours of suffering. It's for my art.
Life is becoming absurd
again. For like you know, you want to break the kayfabe. It's like, no, for the bit, well, I've got it. I have to go back in.
Okay.
Yeah. So. You have to go back in, and then you're gonna show up at a con. You're gonna have the armband on your arm. It's gonna be you're gonna be full back in.
You're gonna see me running with my hands behind my back. Just playing Fighting Dreamers.
Oh, God.
At least it's Kai. At least it's Kai.
You're going to get that tattoo of all those Sharingans on your arm?
So just to go back a sec and make sure that we get the plug right, is Katana Zero the game that you're talking about?
Samurai Zero.
Samurai Zero isn't showing up on Google.
Oh, no.
Did you make up a game that's not real?
No,
Willy?
It was at PAX.
Is it an Adult Swim game?
Adult Swim.
Yeah, so
games.
It's called Katana Zero.
I'm sorry.
Let's get the plug right. Adult Swim.
Sorry. that's an easy screw up.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Samurai Zero sounds like it would be a real game name, but
Katana Zero.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Okay. I do like. Like, I feel like I'm gonna buy Star Fox, but just not right now.
It's super fun, but like, if unless you need another fix of 64, like,
I'd rather just play 64 on the virtual console.
No, you should play 64 3D actually, because it's a huge improvement on 64.
Oh, really? In what way?
It's a whole remake from the top.
Oh, okay,
down.
I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah, new assets and everything.
That's
and you can even turn the 3D off.
I will.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, those 3DS remakes that they've been doing for classic 64 games are just the best. You know what I'm pulling for now?
Mm-hmm.
Paper Mario 3D.
Yeah, never going to happen.
That's the only way we'll ever get a real Paper Mario game ever again.
I would love that, too. I would so love if they redid either of the first two games. And, just, like, honestly... Given what the newest title and the previous two titles were, it makes you appreciate how much the third game isn't that bad.
Yeah, no, like...
Even though it was a platformer and nobody really asked for that, like, it still had the atmosphere and feeling
Mario.
Of a Paper Mario game. Now it's, like, yeah, name alone. So.
Yeah, like... Oh,
blood
God,
stickers!
It's Paper Mario, that's what it is.
Everybody complained about, like, oh, it's a platforming game, we don't want this, and then it's like, okay, we'll give you back the stuff that you asked for, but then we'll take away all the other stuff, and it's like, fuck!
Yeah.
Nintendo, God damn it!
Undertale is the best Paper Mario game.
That's kind of...
No, it's not.
I just said it, and
yeah,
wanted to
I was
see
just
if
like,
someone else would make that statement true.
I was like, no, that's not true. But South Park
I don't even
know is
what
kind
you were going for.
it was a random thought that I was like, maybe I'll say this, and then you guys would be like, wow, that's really deep.
But like,
it wasn't
Pat,
deep at all.
So like I think my brain age went down because of you saying that.
Yeah.
That's the good work.
Just
right
Kawashima
there.
Shows up is just like, yo, what's going
on?
The fuck you just got
here?
A lot stupider.
That was like every con weekend. There's a bit that gets
there's
that
a
gets
couple
powerful,
good ones.
And this weekend was all about the brain age.
Brain age was a good bit.
but
Jeff.
Yeah, is my week now?
How was your week, sir?
It was pretty good. I'm coming off like a month of insane subscriber growth because of that Sword Art Online thing.
Congrats.
Anime.
Oh.
Yeah, no, the so
well,
it's,
you, it, that's you know, that's crazy because I remember you saying it was winding down like 2 or 3 or even 4 weeks ago when we did the Weebcast,
and
like,
then
after
it,
the fact, and it still
it
kept going
back up. It went like it went back up, and then it stayed until about a week ago now, I guess, was when it dipped down to like sub 500 a day, which like it's weird because I used to be like perfectly content with 400 subscribers a day, but now after like a solid month of 1,000-2,000 subscribers a day, I'm like jaded and I'm just like, ugh, only 600 subscribers today.
Well, Jeff,
that
you know,
sucks.
It figures that once you were going to make a video on the greatest anime of our times,
that
sub count would just roll right in.
I was about to say, if you keep up the quality, such as your What's in an OP, Corey in the House video, which is beyond, like, there's committing to the bit, and then there's, like, actually, like, it, not treating it like a bit.
As somebody who's never, ever, ever seen or even heard of Cory in the House before the weird Cory in the House is really? An anime thing
absolutely.
Has come up, it is the most, it's one of the most confusing gags I've ever seen on my time on that internet.
I know.
Because
I
never heard of it. And all of a sudden, like, this isn't... What? No, it's... What?
I know his face from GIFs, and, like, that's all I can tell you, because I don't know if that aired up here. But
It did, absolutely.
Then I didn't have TV at the time.
It was on the Family Channel, which is our ghetto-ass version in Canada of the Disney Channel.
Stuff.
Yeah, I was long cable cut by that point.
But, yeah, Cory in the House is... I think we can all agree it's an absolute masterpiece.
Oh, God. He's still dedicated.
No, I have to.
Sure.
Oh, God. That's going to be my... I have to dedicate to the bit and, like, trick my brain to get those proper deadpan April Fool's gags. And next year it's going to be something even more ridiculous, I'm sure. Or I'm going to try to. But, man, the Cory in the House thing might... It's weird because my first exposure to it... was the old website that I used to work for on our Twitch. Whenever our boss would he would do game streams where he would for the people in the office, he would do game streams of, like, breaking embargo review copies that he'd gotten, but just for us. And the way that he'd hide that from publishers and from other people on the internet is he'd tag it as Cory in the House. Okay. And if he still does that now, I just got him in trouble, which I'm okay with. But
but that's the secret.
But, yeah, like, the 1-2 punch of the greatest anime of all time, Cory in the House, and the other greatest anime of all time, Sword Art Online, at least according to the people who keep telling me to kill myself.
I keep trying to tell Wooly to watch it, and he keeps refusing.
So here's what you need to know.
You don't understand,
No,
Wooly.
You don't
His
understand.
Sister's boobs are so big.
And now I know. Especially when the game version shows up and they don't know, and then... They, in real life, how could you? Because here's what's happened. I've watched the What's in an OP breakdown of all of those.
Yeah.
And then I watched the Sword Art in 5 minutes thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel sated.
You don't get it.
No, Giga, I think I do.
No, you don't.
Gigak did a fully, strong job on that.
You don't know anything about Laughing Coffin.
His sister's boobs are so big.
So, Wooly, what I'll say is watch Sword Art Online Abridged, because that's like...
He's a beater.
No,
and what I'll say is no.
No, SAO Abridged is seriously like the first Abridged series that I've seen in ages that's like Team 4-star quality. It's seriously really, really good. And okay. What they're doing is they're rewriting the story basically so that it's better. And that's like they've given Kirito a personality, and his personality is antisocial dickbag who only becomes like somewhat tolerable through constantly just life beating him down, and that's much more likable than just the best guy in the world right off the bat.
But he's the best guy. He's the real Black Sword.
That's the appeal. God. Is he's the best?
The part. No, of the that's equation. The opposite of. Oh,
that's
God.
The appeal, Jeff. You don't understand.
I didn't realize that they went on. Like, not only was he full like Black Swordsman guts, and then they have their, but they had that Casca moment as well, just to nail it home. But anyway, so Jeff, you're forgetting, you're not aware of something. And that is that I reject the entire premise of Pat's suggestion here, in that I don't want to even have – I don't want to know the story. I don't want it to be better. I want no part of it.
That's fine.
I want it out of my life.
You don't have to.
You need to know how poorly used Klein is as a character, despite being more interesting than every other character in that
series. I'm also missing that thing that all three of you have, which is like – the core interest in the Trapped in an MMO idea.
Well, yeah, because that's because you're tall and big and strong.
you're an actual human being who can operate in the real world
that way.
You dick.
Well, talk to Brennan. Like you know what? Like he does. Well,
think of how much taller and bigger and stronger he could be in an MMO.
Brennan gets into, like, a real-life MMO. He'll just fucking body slam all of the raid bosses. save the world in like a weekend. That's the kind of guy he is.
Well, ultimately, he's putting a costume on and living it out because he's already there. Really.
He's in a real life MMO, exactly.
Anyway, man.
Yeah, no, it's oh god, like. You guys telling me that Sword Art Online is good, jokingly, is much better than
all. I'm not
all
joking.
Okay. Than all of the unironic people who are literally telling me to kill myself and threatening to murder me over saying that it's bad.
I saw some of those retweets. That's fun stuff, man.
God. Those,
treasure those, honestly.
Yeah, the 12-year-old boys who are so mad at me.
Like, I had one that I pinned up to my Twitter the other day where someone just got irrationally upset. Like, who the fuck is the Baz? Why does he keep showing up and shit? Like, I love it. Like, that's what we do it all for, you know?
Is
like,
to get that one guy angry.
Yeah, like, when I saw him in Dive Kick and I was, like, confused but all right. But then he showed up in Shovel Knight and I got legitimately concerned.
Yeah.
Fucking love that.
I guess
people think he's like from a game that they're not aware of.
Yeah, no, it's weird because like my absolute first exposure to your guys' content was the Baz.
Woo! I'm sure for a lot of people that's the case, yeah.
And like I checked out Dive Kick, and this was before I was really like into fighting games and I knew what stuff was. I just kind of, because I heard it was a good entry level fighting game.
That's correct.
And I was like, oh, okay, so there's all these jokes. And then he showed up in Shovel Knight, and I'm like, that's weird. I'm really looking forward to seeing him in Indivisible now.
Yep. That's going to be so good.
Look forward to it.
It's going to be so good. I hope that they then take him and just put him in Skullgirls straight up. That would be the ultimate, 360 for the
Man, Skullgirls is done.
Well, if you pick Beowulf and change the color...
His costume is already there.
He has a Baz alt color?
Yes.
Oh, that's sick. Okay.
So right now we're moving forward and we're actually... We've got manila envelopes that we're trying to slide over on the Iron Galaxy desks over to Lang.
Hey, how's KI doing?
Killer Instinct, huh? How about that lightning grappler?
Just get back. Oh, God. That's...
All Lang has to do is like, I don't want to deal with this shit again today. Let me just send it to the Microsoft guys, and then they look at it for 1 second and go, whoop, whoop. Mm. Don't need to entertain that niche character, right?
Yeah, that's... I hope it ends up in... Baz just needs to be in every video game ever, just to get people really legitimately concerned about the state of the game industry.
And confused about his origins, too.
Yeah, no.
Those are important.
I remember when Destructoid had no idea and
is this a Mugen character?
And then he originally was like super like, no, this is from a Capcom thing and blah, blah, blah. And like I had to like message him and go, okay, dude, here's the deal. Like, let me explain it because you're never gonna get it. And these comments are just making it worse because they're trolling you, man. Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, the business has been going pretty well. I'm up to 1,000 on my Patreon, which is like a big milestone.
Solid stuff, man.
So yeah, I'm excited on that front. But then, like, as far as what I've actually been doing, been watching a lot of anime. I'll talk about that.
What in a bit, you've been watching anime?
I know, it's crazy.
Liam told me about how you guys roll when you had to do that podcast.
Everything, 5 hours long.
Fucking hour. Oh.
Great. Yeah. Great.
Let's never do an anime podcast.
And the next season's in like 2 months. So.
2 months. So, yeah, we'll bring you back for that, hopefully, Liam, if you've got time. I was thinking, hell, maybe Wooly would like to do that, but I was like, no, Wooly would definitely not want to do that.
Curate me, please.
I do it as somebody who hates anime?
Yeah, just bring Pat in. Just like, what'd you think of this show? I fucking hated it!
How big were his sister's boobs, though?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything with Big Sister's boobs this season. This season's trash, yeah. No, actually, I'm really enjoying a lot of what's going on this season.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff, for sure.
Kiznaiver, the new Trigger thing, is really good, really well animated.
What did you think of the thing in the second episode where it's like, tell me something or else I'll blow up a bomb? And how, like, I felt like that was a bit contrived, but, like, I did like it.
It's very, like, over the top. Like, it's totally like what Mario Kata would write.
Yeah.
But it's like that plus Trigger's style. I'm loving it. A lot of people online are
I think it's really good too. I like it a lot, but
And it's so beautiful. It's so good. It's like all of the budget that they didn't put into Luluco, and rightly so, because Luluco is perfect with zero budget, they put into Kizniver, and it's just it's amazing. And then Cabaneri is great. But what so last night I had like this weird moment because I try to keep on top of there's so much anime. There's so much anime it frightens me. But I try to keep on top of like all the series that I watch until eventually I fall off. And I was at the falling off point with the Phoenix Wright anime, despite loving Phoenix Wright, and then I watched episode 5 and it went from like a 3 out of 10 to a solid 7 out of 10 in one episode. And it's insane how like just weird it is to be watching a bad anime and then suddenly it's a good anime. Like the animation's been turned around, the direction is better, and there's like I was looking around online to find the explanation for this. This is do you guys Who here has played Phoenix Wright? Just out of curiosity,
I have.
I think I have not.
Have you not played? I have not completed Phoenix Wright.
Okay. I have played all the Phoenix Wrights.
Okay, so if you've played Phoenix Wright, that's great. Skip the first 4 episodes of the Phoenix Wright anime. Start with the 5th one, where they start the Turnabout Samurai thing. Like the animation's 10 steps better. The direction that is, it actually has direction in writing now, instead of just being a straight adaptation of the game with all of the fun bits taken out. And, like, it's the reason for this, apparently, is that they started animating the whole show in February. And it aired in March, right? Like, it started airing in April, not March, in April. So it started airing in April, so they had literally 2 months to get this thing done. Mm-hmm, so the first 4 episodes are shit, and they just focused on making episodes 5 onward actually watchable. And I guess they're going to go up and clean the Blu-rays up later, because the first Blu-ray doesn't drop till August. That's
I figured that was the case. That this is just like the first post-release episode. Pretty
that sounds
much.
Those, those screen caps are unreal at how shit quality they are.
Oh, like the screen caps before were shit quality, but like if you go to my Twitter right now, at G0FFThu, go to my Twitter, follow me on Twitter. Hey,
do
people,
I follow you on Twitter?
No, you don't, Pat. You
wow,
jerk.
The mid podcast chill.
The mid podcast.
Get it in
are
early.
You are you Jeff Keighley?
I'm Jeff Keighley. That's me.
That's where I saw them. I saw the Phoenix running. I saw the courtroom with the Playmobil characters singing the jury.
What's that Twitter account again?
At G0FFThu. Go follow
G0FFThew.
So they changed. They fixed it up.
Yeah, like if you go there, like, right now, I think, just scroll down. I live-tweeted watching the whole episode, and I kept pausing it to grab screens. And, like, they have expressions now. The characters are on model. Maya is actually legitimately fucking adorable, and I'm in love, and I want to buy whatever Figmas they sell of her when the series is done, because holy shit, she's so cute. And, like,
I think she's, like, the best part of this anime, honestly.
Oh, like...
Her characterization's really on point.
So I'm just gonna copy a link to the tweet, and I'm gonna shoot it to you guys, like, literally right now, so that you can take a look. This is just a comparison in quality between literally the last episode and this one.
Okay, well, it's a visual bit for
blow
the podcast,
that up.
But... We'll take a look here.
Yeah, no, like, okay, they're looking at that. It's...
Yeesh. Wow. Okay.
Yeesh.
Like, that's it's a whole crazy. Different show.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And it's... Yeah, so it's gotten real good, and I'm so excited about that, since Phoenix Wright is my favorite franchise in history.
I can tell by your goddamn Edgeworth avatar on Skype.
Yeah, I like it a little bit. Like, I imported, because I couldn't get a physical copy of Phoenix Wright 5 in Canada, I imported it from Japan with the statue of Phoenix Wright. Mm-hmm. That's how much I love this series.
This is Weebmaster, jeez.
Yeah. So the turnaround on this show has just been.
Would you say that it's more of a turnabout?
Yeah. I hate you so much.
Fuck you, Willie. Willie doesn't get it.
Willie hasn't played the games.
Ben, it means turnabout lawyer.
All of the cases are called turnabout. Willie, you should play these video games. They're good video games.
Please power through it and ignore him, Jeff.
Yeah.
Please.
So, I just
we'll
have to power
get
through
the
puns.
The news if we don't.
Yeah. Okay. So
we still have my week to go.
God, your week's just going to be all puns.
We're going to just power
be
through
all
that
puns.
Too.
But yeah, so Phoenix Wright has turned into a good anime, and then like I said, I've been watching a bit of everything. The four series that I would recommend watching.
Are you still watching Big Order?
No, fuck no.
Fuck.
So Big Order.
I'm trying, but like it's hard to watch that show.
So I don't know if you know about this, Willie and Pat. You guys are the JoJo fans. Big Order is basically like, you know how Diesel copied JoJo's Bizarre Adventure?
Yes.
Big Order is like some guys in Japan didn't know what JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is, but read Diesel and Code Geass and decided to combine them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's so bad.
It's really awful. It's hard to stick with it.
As written by the guy who wrote Mirai Nikki. So it's like edgy as fuck.
Yeah.
And not in like an intelligent
like,
or
Mirai
good
Nikki,
way.
Admittedly, not the worst thing.
No.
But, like, not. Nowhere near top or anything. So
Mirai Nikki has some good yandere waifus. This does, ugh. But yeah. So Big Order is not what I've been watching. ReZero, which has actually gotten a lot better. ReZero has turned into what I wanted Sword Art Online to be when I started watching Sword Art Online, which is take the concept of being trapped in a fantasy world and turn it into a straight up horror thing. And, like, the whole concept of it is that this guy goes into this world, and it's, like, normal, trapped in a fantasy world bullshit until he gets murdered, and then he goes back in time to the last checkpoint. It's stayed good. The animation's good. The waifus are pretty top tier. And that's good. Kiznaiver's good. Flying Witch is adorable.
I was going to ask if you're still on Flying Witch. That show is super cozy to watch.
It's so nice. Like there's a good trifecta of that. Tanaka-kun is always listless, and Sakamoto Desuga, that's just like top tier, really good comedy this season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Flying Witch is just like settling down, putting on your comforter, and feeling warm and cozy for an afternoon. It's really good for that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Diamond is Unbreakable. Diamond does not crash the anime.
You can't crash that shit.
It's so good. It's like the best part of JoJo has been turned into a legit good anime. And I'm
super happy that Okuyasu is voiced by GTO.
Yes.
God.
That's totally what I was hoping for.
Like
that kind of gangster attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this weird place with Diamond is Unbreakable where I read it and I loved it. And I'm in this spot where it's like, no, shut up. I don't care about Echoes. Get to the lock. Get to Hair Girl. Get to Pearl Jam.
Oh God. The stands are so good in this part. Like people don't even know yet, but at the same time, I am enjoying like just the buildup again. Cause it's been like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's been like 2 years since I last read Diamond, so I'm like,
it's nice to go through it again.
Yeah, it's nice to go through it again, even though like I'm seeing all this stuff like Okuyasu's dad, who's just going to completely disappear from the story in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And like all of this stuff that they haven't like fully taken out that are just plot lines they'll drop later. But
whatever, shut up, RPS kid.
RPS kid, oh god, RPS yeah. kid, the chef, the lock, the alien who comes down and turns into Jotaro.
Oh,
yeah, no, I know, I was trying, like, let's not go too far, but I do, but although admittedly, like, I do enjoy the fact, though, that I'm forgetting some of the smaller details,
yeah,
and, you know, of the fights, then, and, like, and that's... So what's making it
like a really,
really
good example is I remembered Aqua Necklace, but I forgot the bit with the humidifier.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Which is really like intrinsic to how that goes down. Yeah.
He busts through the wall and the humidifier's there and he's like, oh no, I left the humidifier on. Oh, Aqua Necklace is attacking me.
Right, and it's, it's still going with like that sort of motion manga style of animation, but like they've played it up with these big transitions where like suddenly the characters will be on screen in front of the panel that's currently mm-hmm. happening and then it'll just smoothly move into the next shot. I you guys agree that that opening scene of the very first episode is some of the strongest TV.
Oh, it's
TV.
Good. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh, it's good.
Fantastic, dude.
Oh, God. Yeah, so that is exciting, and I'm excited to see how the OP and the ED evolve over time, because it looks like the OP's got some shit to change.
I've got my like Saint Gentleman's bag and tie that I bought in Japan, and I need an excuse to wear them sometime.
We have at least 2 or 3 weeks before the first main change to the OP happens.
Well, no, because...
Next week
It won't be next week, because next week will be the reveal, and they're not going to blow the reveal in the OP.
2 weeks, Echoes will show up, and then we'll have the big change, and oh, God. Like, I've been keeping an eye out for details, though, and there's some details, like the signs in the background. Giving you,
oh, yeah, and the endings, and the ending changing as well.
I was hoping for a Queen song. Like, I was pulling for a Queen song.
I wanted All-Star.
All-Star is the other one, but, man, All-Star would be good. But, I'm pulling for Killer Queen for Season 2's ED, because this is a long series. But, dude, I'm really loving I Want You, Savage Garden.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I'm so happy with that choice, really.
And, it's...
Did you see that they're re-releasing their album and
with Joe Skay on the cover?
With Joe Skay on the cover, I'm buying that shit like immediately. Oh mm-hmm. God, it's so perfect.
Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah. So video games. I played.
Wait, what about Super Lovers?
Super Lovers. Oh,
did you stop watching Super Lovers?
I haven't. Like, I haven't gotten around to watching episode 2 of Super Lovers yet, but Super Lovers is the first anime in years that's set in Canada, for at least the first episode. It's a hardcore gay romance story about a guy and a little boy, and when I say a little boy, I'm talking like 11 years old, raised by wolves.
Like, super young.
Like a young feral child who bone each other, like, relentlessly. But the feral child was raised... in the wilderness of Calgary, Alberta, which is...
Yep.
It's kind of weird to see Canada show up in an anime. Like, I don't think that's happened since G.J. Boo.
Oh, yay,
Boo.
Canada showed
since
up
what?
In an anime. What's it about?
It's about hardcore gay sex. Okay. No,
Since which show, Jeff?
Since G.J. Boo.
When was that again?
G.J. Boo? G.J. Boo. It was like one of those club shows that were popular in like 2007.
Before or after Wizard Barristers? Because Wizard Barristers had an episode in Ontario.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah. Wizard Barristers had the episode in Ontario.
The main character's from Ontario.
I have to
Why
sit
do they
down.
Always pick Ontario?
I don't know. No,
here you go, Wooly. Here's the cover of the anime.
Super Lovers.
Yep. Super Lovers.
That guy really likes kids.
Like, he does a lot.
He really likes kids.
Thanks for planting this landmine on the podcast, Liam.
About like way worse yaoi all the time.
We do?
Boku no Pico. What do you
Boku
think
no
that
Pico
is?
Boku no Pico is.
Talk about that.
Yeah, you do. It's your favorite thing.
Oh, God. Yeah, what? Boku no Eruption? I thought he was on your podcast
last guy.
Week.
He
Boku
stayed
no
in my Pico. House.
He ditched the Boku you'll notice.
But, like, very, very smart. So G.J. Boo had, like, a cat girl in it who was just randomly from Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
So Japan likes Canada. They just don't bring us up too much. But yaoi can be good. I mean, Love Stage was pretty fun. I enjoyed that.
But this definitely isn't.
It's in Canada. Canada Pride.
Canada
Pride.
Plus.
Literally,
that's the major plus, right?
Anime aside, I've been playing a lot of video games this week. I did a live stream last night where I tried to play the new Hitman map, because I fucking love Hitman a heck of a lot. But unfortunately, it took like a bunch of hours to download because I
didn't download it.
When you guys know when you get a key from a publisher, sometimes it'll download all of the DLC automatically, sometimes it won't, and this was one of the cases where it didn't, and I had to wait another 5 hours. So instead of that, I finished Salt and Sanctuary on stream.
Nice. How was that?
It's really good. Have you guys not played it?
I have played the original PAX demo.
I played it, and I don't care for it.
You don't care for it? That's fair. Like,
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool.
I decided to take this, like, specifically as my bridging on point to playing Souls games, like, hardcore. And, like, it does some stuff not as good as Souls. Like, weapon lore and stuff isn't quite as interesting. But, oh, God, it nails the atmosphere so perfectly of, like, this big, scary, haunted place that, and the environments are so varied, like from area to area to area, there's a bunch of very distinctive environments that, like, even though it doesn't have a map and you kind of need a map for a Metroidvania game, you don't need a map by the end of that game. You learn that place like the Spencer Mansion, and it's big, and it's the combat is intense. Like, did you play Dishwasher the Dead Samurai? Or
Yeah.
So it's like the guys who made that, they know how to make 2D brawler combat. So the combat's strong. The Metroidvania aspects are really good. Like the exploring, finding new stuff. The powers that let you explore areas are interesting without being like overly overpowered. Like, they all consume stamina or your torches. Mm-hmm, like, you have to light a torch to make hidden blocks appear. So you are working on resources all the time. It's really well balanced as like a tense survival game. And that clicking over point from I'm scared of fucking everything to I'm gonna go in and try and kill this boss, even though I've only got half my potions left and, you know, my mana's running out, and you actually do it. It's so satisfying to play. Like, I played it on Bunny Hop's recommendation, basically, and I just I loved the whole thing, and I had beat my head against the final boss of the game like four times before I decided to stream that night. And then I went on stream and I was like, okay, I'm probably going to be doing this for a couple hours. And then I beat the boss, the final boss of the game on my first try as soon as I started streaming.
Coming out of PAX, I feel like something that occurred to me in a way that it should have occurred before, I guess. But seeing that there's AAA Souls-like games on the horizon, Neo's here, there's these, and then there's indie Souls-like games as well. Like, it's very much like, you can just call this a genre now. It's like roguelike.
It's so much longer than I expected.
Well, on Kickstarter for the past 2 years, like, that's one of the big things, is like Souls inspired.
I mean,
you saw what was the one you played briefly?
Death's Gambit.
There's Death's Gambit. There was the other one that was not so much Souls like, but people instantly looked at it and said that. The one with the guy who has the white hair like Alucard.
Oh my God! Not even Aether. The other one.
Then there's Aether, and then there's a couple others.
Then there's that mouse.
Let It Die.
Neo.
We're seeing every budget size attempting, you know, different types of Souls inspired things, and it's like, yeah, this is now absolutely
a thing.
And you're gonna see Souls like likes eventually.
Like Souls Lights probably down the line, where it's like a little easier, but
slashy Souls.
Yeah,
we're already there. We've been there for like a while. Titan Souls already came out. Like we've been there for quite a while.
Titan Souls is more like Souls meets Shadow of the Colossus type.
Just didn't hit me in
that.
Titan Souls is not quite there. Titan Souls is a bit different, but it besides the name. But it didn't quite hit me until I walked out and was like, "There's a bunch out. There's a bunch coming. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch right now, and there's like a bunch that are like all at the different price points, indie and AAA.
Deep Down come out by now, like that would be one of them as well.
Oh yeah, so, I forgot about that too.
So did Capcom.
The thing about this genre like, the weird thing about this genre is that Souls didn't really invent it. It's existed for a while. It's just that we haven't seen any entries in it or evolution in it for a long time.
Kingsfield?
Because that, well, Kingsfield is probably the last most recent example before Souls. But even before that, if you really think about it, classic 2D Legend of Zelda is the protogenitor of what the
Souls games
are.
I've been saying this for years. Thanks, Jeff.
And 3D Zelda went in a completely different direction.
Like Zelda 1.
But Zelda 1's average enemy didn't kick your ass like that, though.
No, I
don't see it.
Zelda 1 didn't kick your ass quite like that, but Zelda 1 was getting there.
It was the quantity of hazards in that game that really got you.
Yeah, but yeah. I still think it's enough of a leap to be distinguished, because there's things that definitely were inspired by it in this way that Zelda inspired a ton of adventure games, but or action adventure, I should say. But like when you watch like Matt's first attempt at DS2 when we popped it in, and it's like run up to bad guy and swing at it like an action game, and it's just not working that way because stamina wasn't a thing in other action games.
Yeah,
and honestly, taking hits that do that much damage wasn't a thing either. And I feel like that is
honestly the most similar experience I can think of compared to some classic game is Castlevania 1,
mm-hmm.
because of the delay on the whip.
Yeah, the delay on the whip in Castlevania 1.
It like emulates stamina.
But even then, like FromSoft was in there pretty early with their own thing.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, it's
like it's like Rocket League, where like this game, like, it wasn't just a magic formula that came out of nowhere.
They had to iterate.
The same game
a bunch of times
over and until over it hit. And yeah. over yeah. until yeah. it yeah. hit. Yeah. You yeah. know,
yeah.
so.
But yeah, like I'm saying, this is like Souls. The stamina thing is kind of what you need to get that same Zelda 1 tension in a 3D space, I think. And if you bring that into a 2D game, then it adds an interesting twist to it. But it's not strictly necessary in the same way, because the only other way to do combat like that in 3D is just to make you wait, like you do in Ocarina of Time or Wind Waker. Well, Wind Waker to a lesser extent, because Wind Waker is the best Zelda combat wise but
yeah, for sure.
Like, and I love,
except for crossbow training, but
obviously crossbow training is the king of all video games. I mean, let's not forget the CDI games. What masterpieces.
No, of course not. Credit where credit's due.
Yeah. So New Zelda, I love new 3D Zelda for the most part. Not a big fan of Skyward Sword, but
yeah, because it's poop.
Yeah, it is pretty poop. But like, even Twilight Princess, once you get past that fucking nightmare tutorial, Twilight Princess is fucking magical in large swaths.
Mm-hmm. Oh god, and even that little segue just reminded me that we might be seeing Souls-like things happening in the new Zelda as well.
Oh god, that's true! The new big open-world Zelda, there's no way that they're not taking cues from Dark Souls on at least level placement and whatnot.
That's how big we're talking, man.
Oh yeah. God. Can you imagine just you're playing the new Zelda and like Navi pops up, Hey, listen! You press the button, it's like, try jumping, Link!
Or
and
Navi,
then you get, you
or
just
Navi
get
gets her messages from the server.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So it's just like, hey, listen, try jumping, and then you just get murdered.
What about a Navi mimic?
Oh god, that would be satisfying to kill. That would be so.
Continue and it eats you.
No, it would need to be a pink fairy mimic that like you go to swap, put it in the bottle, and then it just breaks your shit. Anything else, Jeff?
Yeah, so the other game that I have been playing obsessively for months now, I have like three different JRPGs on the back burner in like Digimon Story and Xenoblade X. But the one that I've been powering through, because it's seriously amazing, is Legend of Heroes Trails in Cold Steel.
Super cool game.
That's that Persona one, right?
That seems like a Persona game.
That's like saying something. That's like saying JoJo's a bootleg Persona.
Yes.
Yeah.
According to Giant Bomb.
Because this series, like,
this series has been
Persona 3 and 4.
No, like, So the thing about this series is it's not like Persona at all. But for Trails of in Cold Steel, they absolutely were like, man, those Atlas guys sure are making a lot of money. Let's set our next game in a high school and structure it around like a monthly schedule with social links. And you go down into a dungeon that is ever-changing beneath your school to fight monsters. But then it's not that at all. Like, that's not really the focus of it. The whole draw of the Trails of games is their world, which is this... Trails In, Trails Of, the Trails games. The Kiseki games is... But it makes more sense in Japanese. The whole draw of these games is that they have... totally shandified huge worlds where everything is thought out in immaculate detail, where people
Jeff, I want to give you a big thumbs up for using the term shandified accurately.
I love Mr. B-Tongue. It's a shame he doesn't make things like more
I would shill him more often, but he's dead most of the year.
Yeah, he keeps being dead. Mr. B-Tongue, please stop being dead. But
contact us, we like you.
So Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky came out in like 2009, and I've been meaning to get around to the second chapter of it, but the problem is that when you wait too long on that kind of game that's like a direct as it sequel that picks up as soon as the end of the last game, and it's been 6 years since the last game, it takes a little bit of getting back into it. But it was this top-down JRPG in the style of Grandia, where you walk around and every single NPC has their own name and personality and relationship with all of the other named NPCs in that town.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
and after pretty much every major or even minor event in the game, all the NPC dialogue changes throughout the entire game.
Yeah,
it's insane.
So like while you're going on quests, there's an ongoing story where the local general store's keeper's mom, the shopkeeper's mom, is trying to find a wife for him and like just embarrassing him by propositioning all of the girls in town. And you hear him talk about it, you hear his mom talk about it, you hear whoever is whoever from your town is talking about it currently. There are these tourists who show up in every town throughout the game, and they're kind of like, it's neat because they're going on the same journey as you concurrently. It's this big epic road trip, the first game is. And then the second game is more of like a straightforward adventure. They each take on a bit of a different structure, but they're so good. And then Trails of Cold Steel takes this whole concept, blows it up to 3D, throws in the Persona stuff as sort of like a structural hinge of like you're returning to this hub town constantly, and there's lots of interesting stuff around here. But then you go to other towns on field trips, basically, and it's like this half a school year with the six most epic field trips that you've ever had in your life. And it starts with pretty basic bitch JRPG storyline. I go to a town, there's a nature park a little ways away, and there's a bunch of shady looking guys out front of it telling me I can't go in. Gosh, I wonder if they're bandits. They're definitely bandits. And then, oh, turns out they're bandits. And you go to like two towns where it's just hub town surrounding spokes with some stuff to do in them. But then the third place you go to is a big open field that you ride around on horseback in, and there's huge monsters everywhere all around this place, and it's like four times the size of everything else that you've been to so far, and there's this Mongolian nomadic tribe in the middle of it, and they think out the cultures of each city that you go to so well and make them all feel so distinct that it's really like you're living in this world. And then after that, you go to a big city with multiple different areas that are each the size of the previous town that you've been in, and you never leave the city because it's so big, and there's these underground areas with monsters in them that connect all of these different parts of the town. And even though you're going with like a fast travel menu, it's clear that they've thought out where every part of this town is in relation to every other part of the town. So mm-hmm. you can like look down the street and see the place that you're going like 3 miles in the distance. And then you hop on a trolley and go there. And it, the whole world just feels so real and tangible. And then on top of that, it's on top of all that, it, the combat system is also tight. Because it's made by
Jeff. I'm sorry.
He's got to cut me off.
This is super rude of me.
No, it's fine.
This is the longest run-on sentence I've ever heard in my life.
It's fine.
We have to move.
And two, we've been texting you and sending you messages in Skype chat for 20 minutes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I get on tangents.
I don't know if you see it, but.
Okay.
We have to roll on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's not a 4 or 5 hour episode, but
I'm sorry.
We do 2.5 to 3 usually.
I'm sorry. I get too passionate about that.
Okay,
video.
No worries, man.
I apologize.
We give the courtesy to. I guess whenever, but you are totally right, though.
Falcom are like masterclass at everything they do, and like if only they had a cash injection, they'd be top class forever.
Yeah, no, I have this problem when I haven't reviewed a game yet, and I just keep talking.
Yeah.
Okay. No worries, man. Because it's just we got to get into Pat.
Get inside me. Full docket.
All right. So. Sorry, Jeff. Don't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine.
My week
it's
was luckily very quick. I hung out with Austin Eruption for a little while, played some Street Fighter with that guy. He's very nice. He does smell, though. Like, Matt makes the joke that Austin smells. Like, Austin smokes, and he actually smells when he comes into my home.
Well, like, yeah. That is cigarettes.
Like, I can smell him from across the room. He smells.
That's cigarettes.
Kind of a mean thing to say.
It is. It is really actually a pretty... But
don't worry. It's all smokers.
Hey, man. I sent him some flowers.
Yeah. You did good. I played some Guile. Dude, Guile is like a wall.
Yeah.
Guile is a stupid wall.
Have you seen those videos?
Yeah.
Okay. Because like, there's new ones.
I think I've never thrown out so many projectiles in a Street Fighter game ever. Even back in the SF2 days.
Yeah, I think the count right now is 783 on Cammy in the corner.
Well, the one that I saw with Desk is like, here's a combo that throws 16 Sonic Booms.
Yeah, but not the count of Sonic Booms.
That's all I care about, man!
The damage and the practicality. And yeah, it is ridiculous.
Let's see.
It seems like he's like built to shake things up. And the rumors we're hearing are true, a lot of the new characters are going to shake things up in
like,
that way.
Like, SF5 has an incredibly strong anti-zoning bias, even with Dalsim. Like, and you see Guile just throw a wrench into that, where everyone has ways of getting around fireballs, but he can just put out so much shit on the fucking screen all the time.
And he can beef them up for more than one hit of projectile.
Yeah, it's
armor.
He's great. Like, I love playing as him.
I ended up
playing as both the DLC characters, like Alex and Guile now my two favorite characters.
And like I said, the rumors we're hearing are that each new character is going to be almost that extreme.
Yurian, like, definitely.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Let's see.
Possibilities that Boxer might be a motion character.
Fuck that. Fuck that garbage. I don't want that.
I'm excited to play Yuri, though, because I used to do Taekwondo, so her moveset makes sense to me.
Who's Yuri?
Jury, sorry.
She's Korean.
Jury. I see the J, and I'm like, that has to be a silent
Ultimate
J.
Ultimate weeb master.
Jury
Russian
is a...
style.
Yeah.
No, in Russia, it's Russian, it's Yuri, but no, like, I'm totally expecting her to have the, you know, V skill is her counter upper back. You know, and then her trigger is going to be the Feng Shui engine,
the unlocking of the
totally.
The strings.
She's baked into the system.
Yeah, totally. Let's see. I also played two other games. I played FF14. Shocker.
Oh,
got
boy.
Some more birds.
Bird Squad.
Bird Squad. Call.
Bird up.
Meth addict. I did more meth.
Says Pat.
I did more meth.
I mainlined. I ran out. I couldn't use my vein anymore, so I found a new vein.
I didn't get any of those birds because I already had that bird, so I helped other people get the meth. Other people shoot up.
He's like, I wasn't getting enough out of my arm, so I stuck it in my leg, and that totally changed everything.
There's nerve endings there that I didn't know about.
Oh, you guys are assholes. Whatever, it's fun. I like to do it.
That's fine.
And I also played a lot. I started up a character in Dark Souls 3 on PC and went down to hang out at the Crucifixion Woods and spent the last couple days like hitting people with a great axe. Mm. And there is a lot of depth to this game's PvP.
So you switch to a different character?
Well, no. On PC, I'm playing Strength.
Okay.
Because I can't in the LP.
Okay.
Because people will be like, "Murr, don't play Strength." There's a lot of depth to the PvP. Like, the first hit of any combo will always stun the opponent a lot. And you'll recover way, way faster than them. And the second hit is always guaranteed. But the second hit resets you to an even frame advantage. So, like, on first hit for anything, you're, like, plus 15. And on the second hit, you're plus 0.
Universally.
Yeah. So what that means is...
Huh.
Is that something like the S-Talk, right? The sword that I was using
which
earlier.
Which people are saying is the boss
so
of the weapons.
So that thing, like you can frame trap people super easily. And yeah. Well, you saw me do that.
Yeah.
But something like the Great Axe, which I'm using, that second hit, if I hit that first hit, that second hit is guaranteed. And that's 60% life right away off one good guess. Mm-hmm. And there's hyper armor on all the strength weapons second half of their swings.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, like, I've been having...
As long as you get the wind-up, you're going to...
Tons and tons of fun. And the best part is that when people will use dried fingers in that area, that enables more multiplayer mm-hmm. players. Because of the way the Covenant system works, every now and then, like, you'll get into, like, oh, it's I'm a red phantom and I'm fighting two whites in a post, at which point it's unwinnable, right? But sometimes, just sometimes, you come in and there's one host, one yellow phantom for Sunbro... One white phantom for just a regular co-op guy, a red phantom, a purple phantom, which can attack anybody,
Jesus.
And a blue phantom who's there to get the host. And it becomes a rainbow, like, shit show of everyone fighting everyone.
What are purples even? How does
so
that
purples
happen?
Are unique.
Yeah.
So reds kill the host. Blues.
Yeah, I got that
blues,
stuff. How does a purple show up in your game?
Watchdogs kill the host. Blues that are cops protect the host from invaders, and then yellows and whites are trying to kill the boss, right?
Mm-hmm, mm.
Purples, it's the covenant I missed in our playthrough, purples can either kill the host or kill as many, like kill an even number of phantoms that exist in the game. So if there's two phantoms in the game and I load in, I can either kill the host or two other phantoms, which means that purples attack everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And everyone attacks purples, which means that every now and then you get really lucky with a big weapon and you kill multiple people in one swing and instantly win, even without killing the host, which actually makes it easier because you can focus on the weak invader instead of the host. You can focus on the watchdog with his back turned to you instead of the Sunbro.
And the host doesn't. Well, then you just get theirs. So
yeah, so like, you can okay. win a purple invasion without attacking the host once.
Okay.
It's super nuts. It's tons of fun.
And in the host's game, you just popped in and popped out.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
I went high, and he'll hide like a baby, and then mm-hmm. I'll kill the phantom that's helping him, and then I wave because I won. I got what I wanted.
Okay.
And
okay.
the host is not killed and is just deprived. Occasionally, you get really lucky, and you get into a guy's game that has like multiple invaders, and then you'll go, okay, I'll help out the host and I'll kill the invaders. Because those the purple phantoms are supposed to be mad, and the fact that they attack everyone and can be attacked by everyone, including other purple phantoms, makes it really feel like they're actually like hollowed out crazy invaders.
Just kill something.
That every time you see one, no matter who you are, they're
hostile.
You have
to pay attention, yeah.
Yeah, it's ton of fun.
And there's no way for them to have an ally. They're always solo as far as I know.
You can have allies in such that like the invader, like if I invade as a purple and there's a red in there, we'll probably both go attack the host.
Oh yeah, but I mean
because
like,
we both win.
But I mean like the purples can't have another
yeah.
like another buddy
and the thing
like
with
ally.
the if you're using a big strong power weapon is that if the other two guys are fighting and you swing, you will hit everyone. You will hit everyone for damage. So your DPS is actually way higher than everybody else's because you're doing like full life bars just spread out to multiple people.
Mm.
It's awesome. I'm having so much fun with the PvP.
That's an interesting rebalance,
that's really,
especially with the frame data stuff.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
That's really cool. Like I love the idea of like multiple corner combat where there's like different people wanting different shit in PvP.
Yeah, and they want different. They all have different goals and different targets.
Yeah, like I saw a video of like six people just scrapping it out, and I was like, "This is insane!
And
you can't win
because you're not familiar with the color system. You're like, wait, who is fighting who and why?
Well, no, I was familiar enough with everything besides purple at this point, but I just. It was impossible for you to turn your back at any point, and like it was so hard to keep everyone on camera.
Very conservative with your swings.
Like the whole thing was that people are like up in each other's face, but anytime two people start exchanging blows, two other fuckers were getting behind those.
And then if that huge melee moves over a little to the left or the right, they aggro the crab, and then the crab gets in on it.
Man, yeah, that's fun stuff. Fun stuff. Okay, let's get into the news.
News blast. We need to.
One. As you're talking about Dark Souls 3, we can just get right into it. You're playing the PC version. You haven't gotten banned.
Malcolm Reynolds is a fucking piece of shit.
It's so cool. Like,
it's
what
you
a
know
fucking
what?
Sick idea.
You're totally right that it's cool.
It's
but,
scummy
but
as hell.
But Malcolm Reynolds is a fucking piece of shit.
So the news is that people are getting banned because invaders and or anyone that you play with online can drop corrupted items or hacked items, and if you pick them up, it changes your game.
There's
code.
There's a better one.
I'm just explaining the basic premise here. And what ends up happening is, like, completely involuntarily, you get a compromised CRC check into the game, and you get banned.
So the upgraded version of that is there's a weapon that hackers use that when you get hit by it, you gain ridiculous amounts of souls and can get banned.
Okay.
So that's disgusting.
So yesterday, Mr. Malcolm Reynolds, that's the name of his character, I don't know who he is, was streaming on YouTube for like 4 hours as he was invading people. And he would touch them with the dagger and you could see them get banned.
The moment they got hit.
So like the invisibility hack and the invincibility hack and the teleport hacks...
That's all nice.
Those don't trigger the soft ban.
Mm.
But adding souls does.
Like ridiculous amounts of souls.
So the madness here is the fact that the perpetrators are getting away with it and are free to roam while the people getting banned are totally innocent victims.
It would honestly be preferable for From Software to completely turn off their anti-cheat system rather than have it continue operating like this.
And so that's where we follow through with the story, right? Where now From Software's response, which this is the worst, it's like they get now it's like pushed into like, okay, people are getting banned for like having what they consider a normal game experience. And From Software's response to it was picking up items from strangers is like taking candy from strangers.
Now, I want to correct you on one thing. That's Namco Bandai's response. From Software has no response.
Okay.
Because publisher the PC response. Doesn't exist in Japan.
Okay.
So they probably don't even know this is happening.
So the publisher response basically to...
Oh, you'd be surprised.
So the publisher response was to basically undermine what is essentially a game feature and almost kind of tell you, hey, you use it at a risk... And not really deal with
also,
the problem.
Also, it should be noted that if you intentionally disconnect from invasions, you can also get soft banned.
Certainly, right?
Man.
It's like a rage quit.
Yeah.
So that's a really shitty sequence of events. But then for the Namco to follow it up that way and go, eh, too bad for you is
like,
really
like
not
the advice
the
they're giving
that.
Out is
what
like
fuck,
manually
guys?
Back up all your saves.
Yeah.
And then
if something happens
roll your saves back and the system should clear you.
Great. Do you have a backup option on your main menu somewhere?
No.
Well?
And this game doesn't have Steam Cloud support unlike the others.
Well?
Well.
Yeah. That's,
there's
God,
a, there's I, a, luckily a guy on Reddit who made a nice backup tool. That you can also find on the Dark Souls Nexus.
I thought that PC players being second class citizens was like a thing of the past, but they keep finding new ways to just dick them over.
And in this circumstance, it's like, you know, player based shittery. So like it's.
I mean, on the other hand, if people weren't hacking it, the problem wouldn't exist.
That's what I mean when I say player based. It's the same hand. When I say player-based shittery, I'm like, yeah, it's coming from the fact that hackers are assholes and doing this stuff. So
sure, but it's still the publisher and the responsibility to make sure this doesn't happen.
Absolutely, and it's garbage that they're not. That being said, if you don't want that experience at a worse frame rate, just play it on a console.
Actually, lag switchers are on that, but they can't As of this point, they can't do the crazy soft band shit.
Okay, well, lag switchers is one thing of the many like ridiculous things going on right now, and you're much better off. I feel like until this is dealt with,
it will never be dealt with.
You don't think there's anything?
How long did it take them to fix the durability bug? But it took them until it was released on consoles.
But durability bug, I feel like the severity of this issue is way higher because people are getting banned from the game they paid money to play.
I seriously doubt From Software even knows that this is a problem because it's the PC release is
What does the ban entail anyway?
You go into cheater world online.
Oh, so you just play offline.
No. There's two. Yes. There's jail where you play with other cheaters online. And then there's the message that says you cannot play online.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You still play offline. So.
And so...
Well, not if you want to play PvP.
No, sorry. When Wooly said you can't play your game at all, I was like, wait a minute.
No. You cannot connect online or you get locked into
jail. Sure, but I would like...
I know to you, you want the offline experience.
No, I'm just saying, like, you can play it. I'm not trying to be petty. When you said that, like, I was like, wait a minute.
No.
My only
offense at that would be to say, like, you say, well, that's fine. Like, nah, it's not.
There will be some people that take it as if I can't play the game.
For example, I was talking to Dropout Dragon yesterday, and he plays these games exclusively for PvP.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's definitely some people that are like, it might as well be not offline, you know, banned too. Because
that being said, if your account does get soft banned, you can create a new account and share your game with that new account via Steam Family Sharing and instantly circumvent it.
I think
even using the same save file.
I think that what you're saying about them ignoring this is, I think that's wrong. I will see what happens.
They ignored the durability bug.
They did,
years.
But that's a way less severe issue.
They ignored the running Firestorm shit in Demon's Souls for years and years. They didn't even know about the running Firestorm shit until ENB told Miyazaki at a dinner years later.
I can't imagine that any of those specific things to specific systems compares to like straight up people not being allowed to play online for reasons that they had nothing to do with. Personally, that's how I see it.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a much more critical path bug.
Okay.
In QA, if we were to rank that, you'd put them in different classes.
It's non-shippable. Is how it is basically.
So
this will never be fixed. Like, just okay.
You're just saying that because it's Namco Bandai and they can be terrible.
No, because Namco Bandai has nothing to do with it.
Because FromSoft, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's impossible to know. We'll just have to see.
And like, even the publisher that is aware of it is telling players, "Well, don't take candy from strangers." Instead of taking steps to fix it.
What a dickish thing to say. That's the
worst.
But
I mean, if there's a it is. If there's a QA team anywhere though that is like seeing this online and like putting bugs into
that let that PC crash bug ship even though it was known for over a month?
Yep, that same team, or maybe even a third party outsourced team, which sometimes gets pulled in after launch, right? If there's a QA team somewhere that is writing up bugs that FromSoft is going to end up reading, you're going to see this one in a higher class that gets taken care of before stuff like durability and that other stuff that got ignored forever, you know? So there's that. We talked about the Sonic Booms. We talked about Star Fox. The next announcement is the Romero Kickstarter is...
Canceled?
Not canceled.
What? I thought it was canceled.
Well, it's canceled.
It's effectively the canceled. Same thing, but they...
But what they wrote, the message they wrote with it is that, not that we're gone and goodbye, but that it's on hold so that they can make a playable demo and then they're going to come back.
They should have done that before.
And then they realize, so they realize...
See, it's better that they did it like 5 days in instead of 28
days. They should have, but this is the response to they should have.
That's about as reasonable of like, whoops, our bad. Okay, let me come back in a bit.
Yeah, so what they did is they canned it and they said that it's going to take us longer than the Kickstarter's time to get it in your hands.
Yeah.
So we might as well
delay it by like 2 months or something.
Hang it up for now and come back.
Yeah.
Definitely the right choice.
I'm very interested to see how much like faith people have in Romero, especially after like Masters of Doom paints him in a very like unflattering light.
And other Carmack.
Yeah, the
other Carmack.
Brother Carmack.
Yeah,
he's working on.
Is he? Is he on
well.
That?
Oh, yeah. There's a Carmack on board. That
genius Carmack
inspires hope.
They're all geniuses.
That's like, but like the John Carmack invented 3D graphics.
Thinking of Boone?
It's, no, yeah.
You're thinking of Boone.
Oh shit! Whoops.
No, Boone. But like John Carmack invented like the binary
video
space
games.
Partition.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is like the basis of every 3D game up until like now. He's insane.
Yeah, John Carmack basically invented like technology.
Yeah, like you sit that guy in a room. He's like actual how movies present most hacker characters. it's kind of scary. But
well, he busted out like that Doom RPG in a weekend on his honeymoon.
Yeah, Jesus, it scares me how smart that guy is. But like Romero, I don't know. He gave Doom its personality, which I feel is like also a vital part of what.
And he's designed a lot of the levels, a lot of really fantastic levels.
Yeah, he's definitely a very strong designer. I just. He's not exactly what people came to Doom and Wolfenstein for initially. They came for that tech porn, that this is the best thing that you can possibly play on your computer right now. But I do think that he's better than a lot of people give him credit for, but at the same time, I don't know if at this point his name has the draw to get like that big push, especially since the last time his name was on a game, he was going to make you his bitch.
I was about to say, like, I've been waiting so many years for him to make me his bitch, and he never followed through.
Well, Black Room is going to do it now.
They should have that as part of the campaign.
Become Carmack's
you
bitch.
Waited all these years, and now you will finally become his bitch, or some stupid shit.
Okay. Well, speaking of tech porn... the new Deus Ex Mankind Divided trailer, the 101 trailer, they're calling it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the Red Dead Redemption style, like,
here's
breakdown?
Here's your consequences.
Yeah, they did it for Thief 2 when that was coming out.
I thought it was super cool. It's a really awesome trailer. And
it was a nice trailer. I found it funny when Jensen starts almost speaking in third person.
Yeah, yeah, like, it was a little weird.
I could do this, and it's like, oh, what's going on, Jensen?
But maybe I'm going to do that.
You're losing me a little bit here, but yeah, and it was really fun trailer.
I'm gonna hit him hard. Yeah. It was cool, and it gets a little meta in that regard too, where it straight up shows you consequences of your actions result in this and otherwise that, and like, but then they clearly say after they kind of spoil almost a little part of it, where it's like this is the beginning, and then it's like, but that's only one part of the expanding story, and da da da. So. Check it out, though.
I bet that game's gonna be super good.
Yeah, and I mean, I can only wait for the Ogs and Prague jokes that we're going to get all over the place, since now the story is taking place in Prague, and you know, it's the headquarters of all Ogs.
Well, I mean, part of it's going to be in Prague, right? Like this.
Oh, Prague Ogs. Oh, I get it.
Prague.
Oh, I get it.
Oh, that's a place that exists. Yeah. Yeah. No, I it's going to be like a worldwide story, like the last one, probably though. Like,
come on, let's get that Montreal level.
Yeah, let's go to Montreal.
Big
O. And be inside a building there the whole time.
No, like they were supposed to have a level in the plateau in the first game,
and it never happened.
That's a shame.
Yeah. It was supposed to be like another hub, like Detroit.
Mm-hmm. I was that'd be neat. Have like the ice castle there for like no particular reason, but that's because that's what people think of.
Poutine shops on every corner.
Poutine shops on every corner.
Augmented
exactly.
Poutine.
Oh God, I have to go to Montreal at some point. Just to see all that stuff and be like a proper Canadian instead of us.
You should. We got
Where are you
stuff.
From, man?
I'm from Vancouver. Fake shitty. I you guys all hate Vancouver. I know.
Is it raining outside right now?
No, it's actually quite sunny.
You're a liar.
I don't hate Vancouver. I have no feelings about Vancouver. I don't think about it ever.
I feel nothing. The only thing I know or care about Vancouver is that it rains a lot. That's it.
And the property value is so jacked, you literally can't live there.
Hey, who owns this building? I don't know, some Chinese guy. Oh.
A lot of Asian people, too, because it's near the coast.
Yep.
That's what I got.
Yeah, I will never own a home where I grew up unless I inherit the one that I grew up in. That's
Oh, and Kelowna has lots of cider.
Yeah, and there's weed everywhere.
Oh, well, yeah, everybody knows that.
That's an important part of our culture, though. Like, I go down to Seattle where it's legal, and I smell it less. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I'm excited for Deus Ex. I really liked the last one quite a lot. I just hope that they have like a big globe-trotting story like last time that takes us to a lot of interesting locales, because I love exploring that world.
Yeah,
I want to hear new racist slurs about augmented.
Yeah, totally. Like Hanser is the old like Pickaninny style insult.
Gearhead.
We've moved past it into something new.
Oh, totally. I love it.
Get creative. And I guess while we're talking about like you know that type of tech and so on and so forth, here's an interesting thing that popped up. There's a series of like this one guy that was in the localization industry. And he did localization for Metal Gear games. Has been doing this thing called Legends of Localization, and it's like basically breaking down or answering questions people have about certain games and how they got translated and so on and so forth. Interesting stuff on the process. And this one article that popped up is basically taking a look at Snake Eater and the section where Snake is talking to Granin and how he breaks down what the word Metal Gear actually comes from. And why he decided to go with it. And it was something that I feel like I got what they were trying to do when I remember when this scene happened, but it always felt super weird to me and it never sounded it's like it was translated awkward. Correctly. Right? So you go back and you watch the Japanese version with subtitles and suddenly the context makes a ton more sense.
All right, hit me. I want to know.
All right, so the English version is Granin going, yes, a walking tank, a robot. Are you familiar with the theory of the missing link between apes and humans?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this technology is meant to be the missing link between infantry and artillery, a kind of metal gear, if you will. This magnificent metal gear will mark a revolutionary step forward in weapons development. And then Snake goes,
Metal Gear.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Japanese version that they didn't transliterate and decided to adjust here was a walking tank, a robot. Have you heard of the theory in evolution called the missing link between apes and humans? This technology is a kind of gear that links foot soldiers and weaponry, a gear literally made of metal, a great big gear that will usher in an evolution of weaponry of revolutionary proportions. Then dude says,
Metal Gear?
Metaru Gear. So
much more badass.
Yeah, and so like basically he meant cog.
Yeah, he meant like the gear of industry
in between, like foot soldiers and actual tech, and it just was something that completely whiffed. And you go back and you listen to that scene, it's like, yeah, it makes no sense.
Don't worry about it. It's Metal Gear.
Although
that guy's a flaming skull.
What I want to see in the next Metal Gear Solid game is just like a cutscene with Kojima in it. Just like sit down. It's like, so why is it called Metal Gear? It's just like, well, I really think that English words are nifty.
You know what? Right. You know what I would like to see in the next Metal Gear game? A big pachinko monster.
Yes, that's it. That's what we need. Well,
I was about to say, like,
pull the lever.
In what world would Kojima show up in the next Metal Gear game?
Well, it turns out since you were in Peace Ground Zeroes, we own your digital likeness.
We own your 3D model.
So you're the villain now, and we get to murder you with pachinko machines.
Oh, yeah, no, that... Oh,
Kideo
God.
Hojima.
Yeah.
It would be...
Kideo Hojima.
With Japanese copyright law being what it is, that might actually be a possibility that they just put him in there to be murdered.
And it's like, it's a Hideo Kojima game, and like, digital Hideo Kojima comes out, and he's like, I am the character that directed this movie.
I was really concerned about the emotions. Who wants to bet they'll get David Cage to direct the new Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, shut up.
Don't
just shut the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
What's the next story on the docket?
Liam.
It'd be cool if he did it, though.
Oh, God damn it. Don't talk to him.
Liam. It'd be cool. I'd want to see it.
Have you heard? Oh, God. It would probably be even more ridiculous.
Liam, have you heard?
About what?
About 1666.
Yes, absolutely.
Have you seen it?
Yes, absolutely.
And now it's public.
Okay. And it shouldn't be public. But it is public. But it's public. Pretty cool, actually.
Didn't Patrice like show that video at a talk or something?
And it was not meant to be recorded.
Yeah, basically. So Patrice Desilets and Ubisoft have finally reached an agreement, and Patrice gets to walk away with 1666. So
Amsterdam.
That's awesome. Fantastic for him, because he's been fighting for that for years and years and years.
The timing sucks, though, because he's already knee-deep into the history game. I forgot what it was called.
He doesn't,
Ancestors.
He doesn't have the team and money necessary to make
and
1666.
And also, Ubisoft
like, I was working at THQ at the time, and 1666 was like a 80-plus man team. If he wasn't working on something, he doesn't have the
also,
means
like,
or money, and no Kickstarter would give you that much either. So
Ubisoft has like burned out that time period in the industry.
Well,
like,
that's the thing, is that when you go watch this trailer, or at least proof of concept thing, it's interesting because it's not doing what you would expect, where you'd be like, okay, we're going to be on the street, the assassin. It's not that at all. Like, it starts out where you're actually you're controlling a crow, and you're kind of flying over the environment and surveying the scene, and you kind of come to learn that you're playing the role of this kind of like conjurer, like summoner magician guy that actually controls animals.
Yeah,
and
it's
uses
Shadow Man.
And uses it's not Shadow Man, and uses them to
here.
Do
he
his bidding.
Me up.
It's not anything, right? Like, there's no like, anyway. He uses animals to like do his bidding and to do like a bunch of weird evil things, and
yeah, like become Shadow Man.
And in this case, like it seems like for a while, I was like, are you going to like just be isolated from the city on a gondola in a way? But then he gets off, and he eventually gets into some combat.
Well, this like it was all fake. There was no, was nothing real in that video.
Okay,
that
was all FMV, as it were.
Well, okay, well, moving the character wasn't. But like when you, for example,
the bird flying
when he gets
like it was controlled.
No, it was played. No, it was played. But I mean, none of it was real, as in the mechanics weren't in. It was all very much guided. For example, when he got into the melee combat, you can just see him do three canned animations against the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was all totally like not even a game at this point. It was all pre-viz stuff. And from what I know, when I worked at THQ Montreal, you know, it was meant to be something that could stand up alongside Assassin's Creed in that kind of
giant world, to
semi-historical explore. Open world kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get to hear a ton about it beyond the stuff that was in this video, basically. And some of it I didn't know, actually, which is kind of cool. Like, they were pretty tight on it, even working there. It was meant to be something that could be that level of title. And looking at the graphics, they were actually really, really good for the time. Because remember, that was like 2009, 2010. Yeah, exactly. For like 360 and PS3, you know. So
yeah, I mean, it's interesting to finally see like what this huge secret under wraps was.
Yeah, definitely.
And it looks like it. Yeah, I think it's interesting and has potential. But you're right in that if that system was going to be then put into a city of any Assassin's Creed proportions, the budget is not there.
No amount of Kickstarter can get you anywhere near what you would even remotely need for that.
He needs Ancestors to be a big success and make the money off of that. Like,
besides that, like, times have changed. You know, Wild has been announced as a game.
Yeah,
and
that mechanic is no longer like novel.
Yeah, Wild kind of usurps that, and Assassin's Creed Eagle's Flight or whatever, if that is Assassin's Creed related, you know, like in terms of marketing, kind of usurps some of that too. So
it's the unfortunate reality of
Just when you look at the two, if someone were to look at the two side by side, they'd be like, oh, they're both kind of flying things, you know. So
it's really the unfortunate reality of the position that Patrice was in. It's like Ubisoft never had to conclusively win this battle. They just needed to delay it for like 4 or 5 years, and they de facto win it to be petty.
Yeah, God, the story of just what's happened to Patrice Desilets over the two times that he's had to leave Ubisoft is just so tragic.
Oh, it's no good.
It's because, like, he made a bunch of the best games ever, and, like, not for nothing. Like, Assassin's Creed 2 was really strong.
That's a pretty good game.
And then it got cut in half because Ubisoft wanted to make more money the next year. It's up there with the story of, God, I'm blanking on his name, but the guy who made Final Fantasy Tactics, who just had like a full-on nervous breakdown in the middle of making Final Fantasy XII, so they replaced him with the people who made Final Fantasy X-2 and just destroyed everything.
But at least we can say that Patrice's story has a happy ending right now.
Yeah, for now, a happy-ish ending, a bittersweet ending.
Well, I mean, I I see him every now and again, not too common, and he seems very happy these days at his new studio, Panache, like actually having full control and not being under any company.
That's because
like he's somewhere. Sometimes he's around the game space.
Because he locked in a really good studio name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got a good studio name, that's for sure.
That's a top-tier studio name. And his game looks pretty cool from the little snippets that we've seen.
Yeah, we'll see whatever it is, yeah.
Other little snippets we've seen. This is something that actually happened early, but we didn't really cover it. So Guilty Gear X Revelator is dropping soon.
And, yay!
Yes!
We've been talking about the new characters and so on, and we've seen like bits more of Kim Hye-hun.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the little girl inside of the body of a big guy?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Oh, yes. Seconds.
But what we didn't talk about was the fact that there's another character that dropped.
Oh.
Raven is finally here, playable, fully designed,
mm-hmm.
and we can see exactly what he looks like after years of teasing him in the story modes of other Guilty Gear games. And pretty sure we can now conclusively say he is not Axel.
Can I ask, by the way, did you ever look at the training mode just real quick?
I didn't.
Ah, fuck. So cool.
I didn't.
Yeah. Mm. No, Raven looks... He looks neat. He's a DLC character, I believe.
That's correct.
That is the most baffling line of dialogue now. Hey, you're me from the future.
No. It says they're connected. It says they're connected, and it never elaborates on it. And he knows about Axel's alternate timeline. We can't go into this now. It's
Guilty Gear story is stupid.
It's Guilty Gear.
I like it.
I love it, but it's stupid.
Man, all of the stories from that studio are stupid and lovable at the same time. Like
they're very anime.
Very anime. Well, yeah, and it depends on the era of anime you want. But
yeah, so but just to anyone unfamiliar, Raven is a character that's been teased for perhaps
like 11 years
now.
12 yeah mm-hmm. like it's crazy.
Let's be real, because going back to not
he
even
he looks nothing like I thought he was gonna look.
Yeah, because we've only just seen this hooded purple figure
with the mm-hmm. weird mask,
uh-huh, and now you get a full-on look at like the jean kind of pants things, mm-hmm. little Kingdom Heartsy, mm-hmm. But cool still. Yeah. I like it.
This is the tease level of like finally getting to play as Kokonoe. Actually, no, finally getting to play as Jubei.
Jubei.
Yeah.
But that is so far.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it,
not
is that
time it, compression?
It's like that. But like that is the baby version, because Blaze Blue is what? Like how many in the making was that before?
Well,
you get
been,
to that?
It's been 8 years now. Yeah. It's almost been a decade.
Because so. Guilty Gear has been teasing that man and Raven mm-hmm.
since the Dreamcast,
mm-hmm. since Guilty Gear X,
mm-hmm.
not Double X,
yeah.
and after By Your Side, mm-hmm. you know. So that's fucking cool to finally see that happening. We've got bold new vision for Call of Duty to be announced on May 2nd.
Infinite Warfare.
Did you check out the trailer?
No, I didn't. I don't care.
It's neat.
Is it time travel?
What's the deal?
No. Just super future.
Why is it infinite?
What's bold?
It's just future. There's spaceship fights.
Okay, super duper future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Spaceship fights leaving the Earth's atmosphere in first person.
Space.
Okay. So who cares about that shit? Modern Warfare Remastered's coming with it.
I'm going to wait like 8 months and buy it separately, because that game's sick.
I don't think you will be able to buy it separately.
I hope so. I hope you will be able to.
But, I bet Modern Warfare 1 will be a better game than Infinite Warfare.
Who knows, yeah.
Are they finally in the full Vanquish suits?
They have straight up robot characters now. Like, forget man or woman, just robot. I think those were in the previous one too, or am I crazy? I can't remember.
I don't know.
But they have robots now.
I'm excited.
You don't get the Vanquish suits, but you get the robots and you get prosthetic limbs and
I'm
stuff.
I'm really excited.
That was in Black Ops 3
for
as well.
For when they eventually burn out on hard sci-fi and just go magic. Just go full on Call of Duty fantasy.
Yeah.
Like Hexen.
What else is left, right?
Yeah. Sci-fi fantasy.
I want fucking World War One with wizards.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm there.
That's what
I'm
I want.
There for that idea. Is there an anime that has World War One wizards, Jeff?
Anime about wizards? Sorry.
Are you not listening to the podcast?
No, I just went to the bathroom.
Oh, good timing.
I did this.
Is there an anime that has World War One wizards?
Strike Witches? Technically? Oh, wait.
All right, I'm out of here.
Not
right. Kinda.
Kinda.
Hey, Wooly, what's next on the docket?
Well, we can talk about how there's an unnecessary announcement that we're going to get a Shinobi movie.
All right, boy. Continuing on.
And hey, don't have no fear because it's from the producer of Wanted, Drive, and Scott Pilgrim.
Oh,
so moving
boy.
On.
What does that mean?
It means nothing.
It means nothing.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah, it means somebody who threw money at those things also threw money at this thing, which means man. That statistically between Scott Pilgrim and Wanted, this guy makes very sound business decisions.
So, moving on. After bleeding out in a couple of different stories over on this podcast, finally Lionhead is shut down.
Oh no!
I think it's the same as we always said. Like, if they hadn't been a first party company, they would have shut down a decade ago.
That's true.
Yeah, they kept they were never a bad company, but they kept putting out miss after miss.
And
I think Fable 2 was their high. Fable 2 was their high point.
And that was 2005.
And, yeah, and I think everybody was on the same page with 3, where it just wasn't as good.
That menu was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
But it's such a shame that they weren't able to just go into a new Fable or something, and they got hoodwinked into a bunch of bullshit.
The journey's not on rails.
As soon as Molly
on rails.
Knew.
I've played it for 6 hours now. Fucking on rails.
It's fucking Joe Shen couldn't say it. No, it's not on rails. But the fact that Molyneux left that studio was the death knell for it. Because they've had failure after failure and delay after delay. But the thing is, how good Molyneux is at bullshitting us. Imagine how good Molyneux must be at bullshitting board members at Microsoft.
I honestly believe that's the reason why Lionhead shut down. That Molyneux was not around to convince whoever held the money
to
keep the studio
open. And even through all of his bullshit and stuff, he does have a lot of ambition.
Yep.
And it does shine through, even if not all the way in all his games.
He's
the first Fable.
Totally.
As much as it's not you plant a tree, etc.
Oh, God. What a...
It still did totally new things.
Yeah, it was cool.
And the second Fable as well, and the third Fable, the big twist and stuff, is he does have that.
Black and white's a big... And you can water him, and he will talk to you.
Yeah. But really, he does... He does have, some sort of visionary shit.
He seems
just they can never actually achieve it, and then he just kind of lies about it.
Visionary shit is correct.
He seems like that kind of guy.
Really, but seriously, you get what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
He has a great idea, just no ability to ever turn that idea into a real thing.
Yeah.
But he seems like that kind of guy who, if he gets you talking to him, you just believe in him 100%, and then you walk away and you're like, why the fuck
why
did
do
I
own
buy
a used car
oil?
Now?
Yeah, if he didn't choose video games, if he instead chose pharmaceuticals religion,
people
would be in trouble.
Everyone needs to remember that Molyneux's big start in the game industry was the dude was selling beans.
Yeah.
He was a bean man. He sold cans of beans. And his company name was superficially similar to a real game company, and he was contacted by a publisher to develop a game, and they sent
You're
him
so
like
right.
10 computers.
I forgot about
and he
this.
Said, I thought about giving the computers back, but then I decided to make my first game instead.
Super.
And he hit a home run.
And he hit a home run on that one. But when that's the fucking start of your life story, everything follows from that point.
Yeah, I
think you have to go quite a few years to get to the bullshit era, though.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Except for the part that he technically stole those computers.
bullshit
they were not his.
Go. But I feel like if Molyneux were in politics, he'd be the president of Britain. Britain doesn't have a president, but he would become the president of Britain.
I'm the president of Britain, and now I have this dog. This dog will love you, and then I'm going to kill it.
No, he'd
be
just
more like the president of Australia.
He'd go up on stage, he'd be like, okay, we're going to plant a tree. The tree is going to grow up in real time, and there's going to be world peace growing from that tree.
I have a perfect solution for our economy. I've put it inside this cube.
whoever gets the center of the cube gets to kill the queen.
Or maybe not. It's up to you.
It's your decision. It's Variable choice.
Maybe I've already killed her. Maybe her body is rotting inside.
Maybe
chip away. Until
it's like that first Saw movie.
No, maybe it's Brad Pitt's wife's head inside the cube.
Spoiler.
I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
This is the worst podcast.
It is pretty bad. That's my bad.
Yeah. Hey, come on now.
He says that all the time.
No, I do. I actually really do.
You do say it every episode.
Not everyone, just the ones
almost,
with guests.
Almost every
episode. Every episode with the guests.
I tease you, Jeff. Don't worry about it.
Let's spruce it up by going to the Steam Workshop page for Sega Genesis and Mega Drive Classics.
This shit is nuts.
And play some wacky shit.
Mm. This shit, good on Sega, but fucking big thumbs up from me Sega.
Really great. Actually, like a really sick product.
So unexpected.
Yeah.
Step one, get a hilarious motherfucker in charge of your Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter.
Good start.
Step two, allow ROM hacks on Steam for Sega games.
Just do it. This is them also throwing out all their old Sega Genesis titles on Steam, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Because they were all emulated quite poorly and had known issues.
Yeah.
And in their place, they made an amazing 3D UI that you can play with, and then you can just buy games to pop into your virtual television and play them, and it fucking works great.
Like, this is legitimately, like, feel-good awesome.
Yeah.
Would never have expected this from modern Sega. It makes me really
I would never
happy.
Have expected this from any
Yeah, you know what?
Any
I would
company.
Never expect any modern video game company to go, hey, fuck it, do
and,
whatever.
I'll point out, Sega of Europe is fucking great. Yeah. Those guys are always on point.
At some point in this business
their
transaction...
Their PC stuff is really strong.
On paper, the words fuck it were written down.
No, I think, honestly, like, what happened was Sega, they bought Atlus, right? And then for the last few years, they've been going through their GDDs, and in every single GDD for every Atlus game, just the first page is the word fuck it. And then they've kept going from there, and it's like, This is how we run a business now.
Great. Great.
Atlus has infected them with their good vibes.
But Sega's always been good on PC, no? Like, am I crazy on that?
They have been...
Yeah,
like ever
with
since
total,
like,
with total war,
like,
yeah,
they have been consistently above average, on PC,
and
they haven't always been the best, but I would say they would be like
consistently.
They
good.
Would be like probably like number three, and I put Capcom above them, and I would put like CD Projekt Red above them.
They did ignore it for a while,
but like when they put out stuff like Binary Domain, like it was solid port, like really good port,
Valkyria
which is now like
too.
Fucking broken on my PC. Oh, like I cannot get it to work for shit.
That's a total bummer. That's a total shame. Valkyria Chronicles had a great port.
Valkyria
too.
Chronicles' port is fantastic.
It's so good.
Amazing.
I bought that game three times now between PS4, PC, and it's good on every. Sega's just good at doing technical shit.
And
nothing else to say.
Lastly, speaking of Chronicles,
what?
The Xenoblade Chronicles coming to the Wii U virtual console.
Yeah,
that's so. Like, in addition to the 3D port, we got it straight up available here.
Look, you can play the game that inspired Xenoblade Chronicles. What the fuck is the game?
Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Chronicles X, yeah.
And it's a better game than that.
Mostly.
Also.
Yeah, mostly.
He's really feeling it.
Yeah, it's really
he's
feeling
really,
it.
Really, really feeling
you
it.
You can't have a Rhymebo without Rhyne.
Yeah. Wooly, I see you looking at a different part of your laptop. Should that signal the change to a new segment?
That should signal the change to a new
Jeff,
segment.
Hey, Jeff, time to put you on the spot.
Okay.
If you want to send an email in talking about anything or whatever, I don't give a shit, where should you send that, Jeff?
Bestfriendcast@gmail.com.
No! Into the water you go.
Into the water. I'm dead.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Oh, I missed the thing.
What is that, Jeff?
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
And if you send an email to that location, you might sound something like this.
One coming in from Chie's best waifu.
That's why even bother sending an email. They can just literally contact us any other way.
Well, no, he's like at this point he's a character.
Okay.
He's Joe.
Okay.
Hey, dear worst friendo. Now that we've gotten copyright sensitive names of Bad Company and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You mean Chili Pepper?
Oh man.
And Worse Company. Is it that bad to read the sub friendly name on the screen when you can hear the character say the stand name in English? I've been seeing people up in arms over it, but it's never bothered me that much.
I'm not bothered. I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I think it's absolutely hilarious.
It's like it'd be nice if they could have the original, but if you're up in arms, like, well, come on. It's not actually sensible to be up in arms.
It's much better in part four is because the characters enunciate the names so clearly.
Yeah.
Red hot chili pepper.
Chili peppers.
And it's like
Crazy Diamondo.
Bado Company.
Yeah. I the thing is
my stand, Bado Company. Bado Company. Like over and over and over.
And it says Badco on his fucking sleeve on his collar. I up in arms is ridiculous. No. However, it's annoying. But I have no fix.
It's just not sensible to be angry over it. Like, yeah. What are they going to do?
Like, it's like, I wish it wasn't this way, but and what is your solution?
And getting angry over it is extra ridiculous because it's like, listen, man. They put, like, this is like a safety violation that somebody put a sticker on and it passed.
Yeah,
right?
Basically.
The fact that they get around it just by changing the subtitles is hilarious.
Like, if you've got an awesome solution for this, then you can get angry and then propose it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, what the fuck? What are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
Steal the subfiles and sub it yourself.
It makes a good source of, like, Twitter comedy just to get angry about each one, but it's so funny. It's so funny.
Filthy acts at a reasonable price.
Yeah. What I was hoping that message would be, like, the first part of that, I got really excited and I was like, oh, it's just a question, is it that bad? I was hoping he'd ask what we thought the copyright safe names for the rest of the stands would be.
I don't know what Pearl Jam is going to be.
But the problem
Oyster
is...
Oyster Party?
The problem is... okay, well, let's avoid, like, you know, obviously all details, but... Like, the big three stands
are not going to be named even close.
And that's going to hurt me.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt me so much because I love all three of those stand names.
Murderous Monarchy.
Murder King. Murder King.
Murder King would actually be really good.
Yeah.
I would really like a stand called Murder King.
Mm. Another one goes down.
No, it can't have anything. It can't have... Once more, they eat the dirt.
ground, air, and flame.
Oh yeah, that one's gonna be tough. That one's gonna be real tough.
Wild feline.
Yeah, how do you even like that?
Like,
that's just a descriptive name.
It sucks.
Oh god,
expressway hero.
Successive powder biter. There's nothing. You can't save those.
Yeah. That's so good. It's gonna be fun.
Discount Illusion.
It's gonna be great.
Discount Illusion.
No, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh god.
It hurts. It hurts. But all you can do is smile because you know there's no other way.
I still can't believe they get away with it like without changing the actual dialogue at all.
Yeah.
Sure.
The only one that really hurt me is just hearing "Sticky Fingers" and then just reading "Zipper Man."
Yeah.
In that game, oh god.
Some of the older ones though were worse in my opinion. What was? Oh yeah, Vanilla Ice just became Ice.
Cool Ice.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That
was terrible. So
I really hated San Viento.
San Viento is probably the worst.
That one probably was my least favorite one.
Or Oingo and Boingo becoming Zendata and Mondata.
Mondata.
And that one's the most like awkward of them all because they are constantly saying Oingo and Boingo.
How'd they not just go like Oink and Boink or something like that? You know?
Oh, because it has to be a different Japanese pun.
Mm.
Anyway.
What's the next email about, Wooly?
We answered this at our panel, actually, but why was Gardevoir ignored?
Total fluke. It's kind of crazy. And like we said at our panel that you guys totally didn't see yet, actually, we picked her in like training before in Pokemon Type
when
Wild.
When they were warming up with the previous
off-camera
matches.
Yeah, because Matt and I had not played the game. I played as Gardevoir.
And then I guess we just forgot
it's
to ever
total fluke.
Pick her. That's it.
And then there was
no planning. It just happened.
And then there was the moment after Pokken, I think, where it was like, oh, we forgot that, but...
Okay, we did the video. The video's done now.
Wanted to play.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that was random. Okay, Chance wants to know, what's an opening that you will never skip every time?
That I will never skip?
All the JoJo's.
All the JoJo's.
Code Geass Colors. Sure. Jibun wo
sekai.
Never, ever.
Yeah. Gundam original.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I fucking love Burn Gundam Burn. I love that fucking shitty old classic Spider-Man. 60s Spider-Man.
Yeah. The easiest one is One Punch Man also.
One Punch Man's too. Up there for sure. Bakano. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's
Bakano's is fantastic, yeah.
Or
Kamen Rider Ryuki. I really like the like 90s synth.
Full Metal Alchemist too. All of them.
Sky Girls.
All like for original series? Or Brotherhood?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Yeah. I think anything that gets you in the mood, you know? Anything that sets the tone right.
So I watch every opening for every show that I watch all the time.
So that's how you get so good at that weird bullshit.
Because that's my job. That's like
professional anime analyst.
I don't even know what my job is.
Welcome to the party, pal.
I did it at every episode of Attack on Titan as well. The answer, Grant, the openings that I skip are like the not good openings.
Yeah.
Even in a marathon, you know?
Sword Art Online's openings, if I ever watch that show.
Watch it every time. Every time.
Skip them.
Every time.
How about Database?
Skip the Database? I skip the Database.
You skip the Database?
That song is great.
Because you're living in that database.
I love that song. Same. The visuals.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask
you
a question. I need to know right now. Very simple. Don't go too deep into it. What do you think of Log Horizon? Do you think it's pretty good or like a steaming pile of fucking stupid crap?
I think it's
pretty
great.
Fuck you. All right, moving on.
Fuck you. Is that the response?
That is the response.
Okay.
How often?
It actually understands kind of how people play MMOs, though, unlike SAO.
Yeah, but it's so boring and crappy.
Jair wants to know, how often country copyright laws stop you from buying entertainment?
They stop me from listening to SNL skits about crying.
Oh, no.
That's what they fucking do. Every time I want to watch that, I just
baby
can't.
Jesus. They stop me relatively often. Honestly, it's
they stopped me last night. I was trying to watch Beyonce's Lemonade, and America said no.
So it's really actually quite impressive how sophisticated the blocking is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you would think like these companies have so many little holes here and there in all sorts of their media and content distribution.
Yeah.
That surely they wouldn't be so up to par. But no, these guys have it so down pat on the lock.
So like, and it's so much worse when you're holding the money in your hands.
Yeah.
And like, you have nowhere to put it.
Canada and Australia routinely top the lists of like, where was the show the most pirated?
Yeah.
Because those countries are bafflingly exempt from a lot of distribution for products.
Even the free online streaming on a lot of websites, like, again, like NBC and I think Comedy Central.
Yeah, no, it's like you'll go to a website, it's like, hey, it's free to watch for everyone, except for you fucking Canadian. Like, oh.
Yeah. You watch The Daily Show
Jeff, I'm sure you've seen that too, given that like you're also in Canada.
Yeah, all the time. There's something
extra special about being banned from free broadcast.
It's so painful. Man, I use Reddit a lot, right? So they'll be like, yo, check out this cool clip from The Daily Show. Oh, cool. And then I'll have to like scroll through like 50 comments to find the mirror just for us peasants up in Canada.
Yeah. Go find it on Mediaite.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
Like, and when Cabaneri was coming out, I was like, oh, shit. I have an Amazon Prime account. I can actually stream it legit from Amazon.
No, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
Canadian
painful.
Netflix has stepped up quite a bit, but
still not there.
But they've stepped up their security way
more.
If you had American DNSs, that shit's not working
anymore.
Here's
the ultimate example of how frustrating it is to be Canadian and want to pay for it. I had a Netflix subscription up until recently, and this is the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, and I said, fuck Netflix, I'm done for now, right? Because I resubbed for Punisher Season 1, and
one-day subscription?
Yeah. Well, no, I kept it.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I would like to catch up on Always Sunny. I never finished it. and you type in auto, Always Sunny in Philadelphia,
yeah.
And,
yes.
And it will auto-complete
because it knows what you're
to
looking
auto
for,
yeah. Always Sunny in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. And you will hit an empty page, and it will say shows related to Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Ugh. And it's like it knows that the show exists. Mm-hmm. It knows that it's what I want. And it says, no, hey, watch whatever.
Well, and it's a bummer because like their database is so robust. And like you know it's just whoever owns Always Sunny.
And then I remember that I had to watch Always Sunny through a fucking VPN.
Yep.
Like when I originally watched it.
Yep. And now you can't. Now you can't.
The fact that the thing knows what I want and explicitly tells me no.
That's such a kick
in
the teeth.
Man, fuck that.
That's, oh, no, the
it just
worst.
Makes me, when I see that, it makes me angry at the like the company that owns the rights to
oh,
it.
Not Netflix.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Not their
so I was
going
to say, yeah.
It's,
I,
it's
I appreciate
individual.
Them. I appreciate them having the robust
but,
database.
But it hurts Netflix because yeah. It's like, well, Netflix, you didn't try hard enough. My subscription has less value than I want.
The worst thing is when they have just the second season up of something.
There's nothing. Oh.
That's so. Like I was in the middle of watching Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated on Netflix, which if you haven't seen mm-hmm. it, is a very quality cartoon. They put story in Scooby-Doo, and it's great. But I took a break from it, and then I came back, and season one was just removed, but season two is still there. So it's like in my queue, but I can't do fucking shit with that.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, no. I mean, I talked about the Lucha Underground situation mm-hmm. not too long ago, but like just straight up last night, like, can I watch this album video thing? Okay, well. All right.
The answer becomes, well, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's just like, okay, walk around the corner, go into that alley.
You know, I took extra steps to use the less convenient, more legit solution. And you decided that wasn't enough,
mm-hmm.
So I'm going to actually default back to the easier and freer solution.
For a while, Game of Thrones was on that fucking thing as well, you know. But anyway, Steve wants to know, what's the worst data accident you've ever had?
I accidentally deleted my Final Fantasy save at North Cave twice.
Ooh.
Like, I got all the way to the end. And wanted to start a new game to show a friend of mine and fucked up and saved over it. And then when I got all the way to the end, my fucking generic 24-in-1 memory card died on me.
The part B is, have you lost interest in the franchise or game as a result?
Oh, okay. I think I've definitely been really lucky with this kind of stuff, actually. It hasn't really happened to me up until more recently when my Vita's 64-gig card died. The fortunate thing is like all my Vita games have the cloud save on, yeah. So they were all backed up automatically, mm-hmm. And when I put the card back in, everything just came back down, mm-hmm. So I only lost a few saves that I just hadn't put on the cloud saving. But cloud saves don't apply to PSP and PS1 titles because they're mm-hmm. saved differently. And I was like, yeah, 20-something hours into Front Mission 3, and I said, you know what? No. Not going to play that game.
It's been a long, long time for me since like a catastrophic save error.
The three that I've actually told these on the podcast before, but
roll them back in.
You know, when I was a young babby, it took me a month to get out of Midgar, and like after that, I got lost. It took me a while to restart that save. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't that big a deal. Second would be Golden Sun, where I saved when my battery was dying at the last castle.
No.
And of course,
no
corruption.
No. Damn,
no.
And I never went back after that.
That's brutal.
And the final one being the ultimate to me, which you know, you know the deal already. Mugen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made Mugen stages and characters.
Oh,
my
no.
brother deleted and formatted our hard drive, and that was the end of that.
So that's
and shockingly,
that's
your brother continues to exist.
He hasn't been murdered yet. That's restraint on your part. My worst save errors both involve letting other people try out my games.
Oh no.
Yeah, so one of them was I was at Hollow Bastion in Kingdom Hearts 1 beating my head against the first Riku fight because it's really hard. And my friend came over and he really wanted to play Kingdom Hearts. And I was like, okay, you can try it out. And then I was just like, just don't save over my save file. Don't save over my save file. And I thought about copying my save file to another thing. because this guy's an idiot, but I'm like, nah, I'm going to trust him. I've told him like four times, saved over my save file. So that,
you know, in hindsight, every time I had similar situations to that, they weren't that bad. In hindsight, all we had to do was yank the fucking memory card.
Yep. And let it get maybe corrupted or whatever, but it's
risk corruption.
No, I mean like
after the load.
No, I mean before that you let them play the game.
That's true.
Just pull it out.
Pull it out and say,
yeah,
well,
if he wants to try it, he has no reason to say
that's
it, right?
True. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But like you're like, oh, maybe he'll come over and play it more. I'll have actual friends in my life and not be just a troll in my cave. But no, that,
no, enjoy your cave, troll.
Enjoy the cave. And then the other one, which I feel bad being mad at the guy who did this because the person who erased the save is my cousin who has like actual autism and like so you can't be mad at him. But at the
But what did he remove?
So I was playing Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening on the Game Boy Color and I'd gotten to the Windfish and I had been playing it like all summer. Just on and off, like, I've had this game for years, and I was finally getting around to actually finishing it, and like actually giving it a.
You were like at the egg.
Yeah, I was at the. At the egg. I was at like the final dungeon. I'd done the special color dungeon, and like he's begging me to play it, and I didn't trust him to not fuck up the saves, and like my mom was like, "Oh, come on, let your cousin be part of this." And, you know, like, you can't not. And then he did exactly what I told him not to do.
The worst bit in that game is,
blame
like...
Blame your mom.
Yeah, no.
Blame my mom.
I was, I was building up for the story to be like, that's brutal because it's like, there's nowhere to appropriately direct your anger. And then you mention the part with your mom. It's like, no, there was a point where you could appropriately direct your anger. The worst, at your mom.
At my mom.
I remember how that game's like... If I remember how that game's boot flow goes, the worst bit is like... You have to hit new game and then pick a save file.
Yeah.
So, like...
No, but you can save to any save file from the...
Yeah, you can as well. If you hit start and select or whatever
start,
it was.
Yeah, you have to... Man, that game's menus are weird. The compromises that they had to make for less buttons on Game Boy Color. But yeah, no, that was excruciating. Because, like, it was the end of summer. That had basically been my summer project, finishing that game. And I just, like, screamed into a pillow for 15 minutes. Because there was nothing else I could do. Oh, God. Yeah.
All right. So we're going to roll into what's coming out and what's happening on the site and channel and so forth. I think we can pretty much consistently keep the rhyme and rhythm going. That is Dark Souls, Punisher, Zelda, Deus Ex, Dark Souls.
Deus Ex will be coming back at the end of this week.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, what happened was is that before you guys went off to cons, we looked at the schedule. It's like one of these has to take a break just because of the nature of recording episodes.
Yeah, Zelda was the last one.
And, you know, Zelda took a break earlier, so we decided to give Deus Ex a break. But it will be returning probably at the end of this week.
Yeah, very short. Very
maybe,
shortly.
Maybe at the beginning of next week. Yeah. But all the other ones will continue uninterrupted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's a special event, which is the Captain Super Best Iron Friends Civil War,
something like that. Yeah, we've got a few Marvel.
Hey, here's
themes.
A question. I had a massive like screaming match with my raid group the other night over this because I discovered that people in my raid group were scumbags who were on Team Tony.
Oh God, those monsters!
Oh fuck, I can tell right away that Wooly's team start.
You're gonna enjoy the footage. Of how this worked out. Matt made some executive decisions before talking
to anyone. Oh,
boy,
did he.
Oh, no.
You're also on Team Tony, so...
Oh, fuck everything.
Of course you are.
Oh, fuck Tony.
No, you can't say that. You gotta keep kayfabe.
Oh, fuck. So, Wooly, I'm curious.
Holding the sign and everything.
Team Tony or Team Cap?
Team Tony for different reasons.
Okay, what about you?
Cap.
Cap? Yeah. Okay, what about you, Jeff?
Cap, all the way.
Thank you. Yeah. That's right.
From the original comics, man. Go Freedom.
Yeah. I'm sorry you hate freedom so much, Wooly.
I'm sorry you hate Aunt May so much, Wooly.
Yeah. Ooh.
Go, but like, for different reasons.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Okay. I know what your different reasons are.
Oh, God.
I think the only the only other odd video going up this week is the Neo video that is like an hour 40-minute blowout or something. Yeah. So.
And
I am dying in that video. Oh, yeah. I'm like tired.
We can announce.
What are we announcing, Wooly?
The next.
Can we?
Demon Souls.
The next Demon Souls stream.
That's an alien.
Or
that was very well planned and executed.
Sunday.
Sunday.
2 p.m.
We're kind of making it up as we go along here.
We haven't talked it through.
Idiot.
And I haven't even checked with Spy. But
Spy's never doing nothing.
But we're tentatively saying 2 to 7 on Sunday.
That was smooth. I couldn't tell you guys were making that up.
We're like literally looking at each other and like trying to feel out the words, like option select that S into a Sunday if Saturday's the wrong one.
Yeah. You know? Oh God!
So stay tuned.
Yeah,
stay tuned, friend, people.
That's exciting.
Did we beat the podcast?
It's coming up on you. No.
Hey, no. Jeff has to do his plug.
Shut up.
Oh yeah,
Jeff has to do his plug.
And then other stuff. But.
Oh, other stuff?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Other stuff and then my plug or plug then?
No, your plug. Plug it now.
Oh, no. Stop. Shoot. Just let me do the thing.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. Well, you do your podcast
thing. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
What's coming out on your channel?
What's coming out on my channel soon is I'm currently working on a big Full Metal Alchemist special for my first anniversary of the channel / my birthday, because my birthday is on the 9th. So that's the big thing on the docket. I've been endlessly working on getting Ghost in the Shell finished so that I can work on all the Ghost in the Shell stuff I'm supposed to do. And then after that, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants, see what's popular and see what I can get hits off of.
Perhaps the seat of your pants involves collaboration.
A small collaboration with
who
some
would he
cool
collaborate
people.
With?
Not
us, I hope. God.
It's funny that you say that, Pat. Because.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Actually, and I want to talk to you about collaborating on something else too.
Oh, okay. Are we going to do this on the podcast live?
Hey, remember,
not right here, right now.
Don't forget at the end of your plug to tell people what your actual channel is.
Right. Oh, and I forgot two more things that I'm doing. Season recap. I've got reviews of the shows I actually finished coming up soon. My editor's working on that, and my other editor is working on a full review of the entirety of Gravity Falls.
Wait, you have editors?
This guy's got editors.
How come we don't? I'm the editor.
This guy's the editor.
We're all the editor.
You guys have four people. I'm just one guy. I gotta.
When we had two people, we had two editors.
that's true.
This guy has editors.
I say I have editors. I have friends who edit my stuff.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
Oh.
I pay them, though. I pay them real money from my Patreon.
Oh, that's editors. I mean,
that's editors.
Shit.
But yeah, I've got a full review of all of Gravity Falls, like the whole series coming out.
That's a good show. Fuck yeah.
That is a good show. Do you guys want to do a spoiler cast for it right now? No.
Sure.
No, that's a bad idea.
I like the part where I was there as a giant head with one arm.
Actually, I was going to surprise you, but since you said that, I literally put that gag in the review. I was like listing off monsters in Weird Mageddon. I'm like, yeah, Pat from the Super Best Friends.
Yeah, whoa.
Although the intro analysis covered a fuck ton of material, so I'm surprised that there's a lot more to say.
Hey, by the way, Jeff, I want to say thank you, because your analysis of that OP is what got me to watch Gravity Falls in the first place.
You're welcome. More people need to watch that show. It's like Twin Peaks for kids. It's the best.
And you've got that much more to say.
It's a full, like, you know how long I talked about Trails of in Cold Steel off the cuff?
Yep.
Exactly. Full, actually,
yeah, he
looking
knows
at
exactly
Audacity.
How long.
Yeah, fully rehearsed and like cut down to as little talking about each point as I could. It's 35 minutes long.
All right.
I never thought I'd meet anybody that could rival me in verbosity, and yet here I am talking to Jeff from Mother's Basement.
Yeah, except I'm tall and I'm nice to people, so
Kaboom.
Kaboom. But yeah,
I'm
verbosity
punch your nuts. It'll be super easy.
Yeah, no.
Find his mother's basement first.
Ah, God. The fight between... the
I
fight
was there last night.
The fight between me and Pat would just end up being like the hand on the forehead Falklands Islands war.
Yeah.
Holding.
Yeah, but the thing is I'm willing to like bite you.
Yeah, I know, man. You're ornery. Like I compare you to Yosemite Sam in my mind. And
oh, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
That's flattering.
And then let's just go into pick a thing that you're looking forward to that you're going to do this coming week.
All of us or just me?
All of us.
All of us, but you start because you're
just
on
me.
Skype.
Okay. This coming week, I'm going to be doing my birthday party, and I'm going to be going to an escape game.
Nice.
I bet you guys thought that you'd get through a whole podcast without talking about escape games, but guess what? It was me, Jeff.
Have the strippers in the escape game touch your penis.
Yeah. Well,
but then
you get in the room and all the strippers are running away from you, and you're like, "Oh,
that's what they mean by escape game."
It's
oh, no.
And you start crying in the middle of the room because your friends did that to you last year too,
and every year previously. So I'm looking forward to that, and other than that, just spending a whole lot of time editing and writing about Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff, man. Okay.
So what about you, Wooly? What are you going to be doing next
week? Oh, that's a good
segue.
Okay, well, I have teased it a little bit, and I'm now going to do it.
You're going to do it?
But I won't get too specific. I'm starting a BioWare game.
Oh, that there's only
play,
like
you're gonna play Jade Empire.
I'm gonna play a BioWare game,
like for you or for the channel.
For me,
okay.
I'm gonna play a BioWare game that I have not played before.
Okay, so that's like KOTOR
or Sonic Chronicles.
Yeah,
because like he went through the Mass Effects that one time that he thought he was gonna get a job at EA.
Oh man.
It's not those.
I figured that you'd be using this week to finally go through Xenoblade Chronicles, because I told you the last time we hung out, man, it ends with an impassioned defense of short-haired girls.
You did. Also, I only went through one.
Oh, you only went through one?
Didn't go through two and three.
Jeez, no wonder you didn't get
there's
that.
There's more. Jeez, man. Got to step up to the plate.
Like, I should have stepped up.
You only played Mass Effect 1, not even Dante's Inferno? Come on.
I should have stepped
up. What is this Mirror's Edge?
I should have stepped up my grocery bagging skills and asked you for a job. What are you going to look forward to, Liam?
I packed those bags good, motherfucker.
You did. I used to bag my groceries when I lived there.
Occasionally.
It was fucking great. I'm going to try...
And now look what happened.
Assassin's Creed India, see how that goes.
Yeah, hopefully you were talking about that earlier.
Hopefully that's a fun time.
Wait, did you beat Russia?
No, Russia's the last one.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, granted, their stories don't mingle as far as I know, so you can play them in any order, but mechanically, Russia's the last one. And there's a cool new JRPG coming out this week called Ray Gigant. It's by Experience, who do
I've been seeing some footage
DRPGs.
Of that.
Yeah, that's the one with the super awesome battle animations. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Very excited to try that because I hear it's not 100 hours long, and it's also a bit more welcoming than their typical DRPGs, mm-hmm. which
now,
are fucking brutal. So.
Are you 100% certain that it's Gigant and not Giganto?
No.
Mm.
Okay. Nope. But I look at the title and I'm like, man, Ray Gigant's pretty cool.
I bet you it's Giganto.
Could go either way, totally.
Yeah.
My only plan for the next week, honestly, is looking forward to recording more Dark Souls with you guys and Deus Ex, and in my off time, terrorizing people in Crucifixion Woods on PC and just killing as many people as I can.
Do you work together with the King Crabs?
Yes. Yeah. But people are, like, after the first week, people wised up. Mm. Like, they do not, they go, they refuse to fight you.
Don't touch
the
water.
If you go anywhere near the
crab ambush.
Yeah. Unless.
Well, they're too dangerous. They're so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I wish the invaders could ride the crabs.
That would be amazing.
Like, and the other fun bit is that there are a lot of people that use the seed of the giant. So they watch me go lure, like try and lure them next to the crab, and the crab like kicks my shit in because it's aggroed
because it's
on invaders.
So, yeah. Oh god, the thing
you got to use the ivory branches more.
Souls PvP seems like so much fun. Like
It's great. It's really great.
I haven't gotten into it yet, but just like the highlights reels of Bloodborne PvP, like that guy jumping off the tower with three guys whose game he's invading climbing up.
I honestly think
slicing through all of them.
Yeah. I honestly think Dark Souls PvP is a lot better than Bloodborne PvP because Bloodborne PvP had like serious
issues. It had limited builds.
Well, the vials alone.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's got balance issues, but like,
oh no, there's no balance at all. Are you crazy?
I really need to play those games so bad. They seem so good and seem like exactly what I want.
Fucking do it.
Their time sinks, but yeah, much like you want me to play Xenoblade.
And if you ever do any video content for your channel with the Dark Souls series, you can look forward to an incredibly helpful and kind community.
Really? That seems nice.
Yeah.
And
at the very least, a boost in people paying attention.
I have to say though, this LP, the DS3 LP, the shit slinging has been dramatically reduced. Compared to the other ones, like it's livable now.
Less than like 1,000 comments saying get good.
Aren't you still under episode 10 though?
Yeah, and you know what's coming.
Yeah, well,
it's too late now.
That's what. Yeah, it's always too late.
Something I an addendum.
I didn't touch the skull the second time.
Right.
Yeah. You didn't notice it either.
I was talking about Mirror's Edge Catalyst last time and how I was like, man, you could just keep going in that. The point I stopped and walked away
right
from
before it.
Was literally at the end of that demo.
How many hours did you get into it?
About like 2.5.
Okay, that's a really solid amount though to get a handle.
Oh,
on
plus
it.
Extra missions and stuff.
I forgot. I got our pal Levi gave me an Overwatch beta key, so I'm gonna be checking that out.
I'm about to get one too.
You lucky bastard! I want that game so much.
Hey, everybody hear that? Jeff from Mother's Basement wants an Overwatch beta key.
Oh, shit. No, I forgot that doing that would actually do that.
His Twitter is G0FF.
Do it.
You see how this works, Jeff?
Yeah, no, that's the...
Hey, you already labeled yourself a professional shitbag. Mm-hmm. Live up to your name.
Shill, like 100%.
I have a legitimate piece of advice for anyone that ever wants to do that. Like, send anybody that they know, like, off the internet, like, a key for anything. Don't send them a Twitter message with the key in it.
No, it'll get stolen.
Don't. Yeah.
Send them a Twitter message.
Okay?
Saying,
send them a message.
DM me.
Say, hey man, do you want a key?
Because you always see some random going, thanks, brah.
Yeah, because that gives the person the ability to go, no thanks, because they don't want to feel scummy that day. But if they do want to feel scummy that day, they can at least do it like via DM.
Yeah, Man, so I've got because
I've seen people like send me codes and then like I like oh thanks a lot and then I go to use the codes like taken like oh that sucks sucks
beyond codes though I've got this one awesome friend / fan down in Boston named Miles
Fran
he's a Fran but he like so. To give you some idea, we were on my gaming stream or my anime night, one of those two, and I offhandedly mentioned, I really need to get a DSLR so I can film stuff. And he started researching the best DSLR that he could possibly buy me.
Oh, you gotta stop him.
I do. I kinda do.
You have to punch him out.
But he's already sent me Phoenix Wright wall scrolls, and he, as soon as I mentioned I might want to get a fight stick, he ordered me a TES-2. Like it's I mean, he really likes my stuff and I appreciate the support.
You should kill him.
Well, no, because if I go to Boston, he's gonna be wearing my skin, right? That's how those fans work. But
something like that.
No, he's a great guy and I love him. I feel bad taking stuff.
Well, you can do two things. You can either try and stop him or kill your soul.
Just kill my soul. I think that's what I'll go for because things cost money and I want to spend money on making the channel better.
Okay. So that's Mr. Jeff Basement.
Yeah.
From Mother's Basement.
Mother's Thew. Yeah.
From Mother's Shitbag.
Mother's Shitbag.
Yeah, that's me.
I like it.
My mom got a colostomy. Why am I doing that next?
I don't know.
Why am I doing
Vancouver.
That? He's from Vancouver.
What do you... What,
yeah, bro, my mom's... my stoner's not very good.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's time to stop.
Vape, stop, bro. Stop. How much do you vape over
in
Vancouver?
Okay, let's keep podcasting, you and me, Willie.
Willie, don't, like, start installing that while the podcast is still running.
It's fine. It's okay.
Okay.
Wooly's installing weird things on my computer.
Hey, man, it's cool.
Hentai games.
Yeah, it's no problem.
Yeah. I need to get the camera running.
Legitimate
so we can,
illusion software being installed.
I have to get
right
the
now.
Camera running so that we can do the video that is the preview for the podcast.
Mm. Space Jam 2 is real. Starring LeBron.
Save it for the video.
Save it for the video.
Okay, so are we...
And see if you... Yeah, but we're just about wrapping up. We didn't wrap up yet because I didn't hit the music yet.
Yeah.
Okay. But we got to
do the... Is the music pumperum this week?
No, I don't know yet.
Don't drop it.
No. We'll figure it out.
But we all got to sign out, right?
You do have to sign out.
Okay, this is Jeff Thu, professional shitbag, signing out from my mother's basement.
I already overlapped you with music.
Awesome. Perfect.
No, I didn't. I'm kidding. All right.
No, now you're overlapping me because I'll...